ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. It's the David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Thursday, the 13th of November, year of our Lord, 2025. Well, yesterday we had a back and forth with the Epstein files. Democrats released some documents selectively. The Republicans are furious, said you're trying to smear Trump. And so what they did was they released a large number of emails that had been obtained from the Epstein accounts. And there's actually what they wound up doing is hanging themselves a little bit more. Kind of funny. But we're going to take a look at the other aspects of the blame game over the shutdown. What is being proposed with the insurance issues that are there? And we're going to look a little bit deeper at what Trump did on Tuesday, on Veterans Day, bringing in an Al-Qaeda, ISIS, al-Nusra, Syrian persecutor of Christians and other minorities throughout Syria. This mass murdering terrorist is now our guy, as they've always been, and honored on Veterans Day by Donald Trump. This is the lunacy of geopolitics, folks. We'll be right back. Well, the Epstein files. You deserve the full truth. So the House GOP suddenly dropped 20,000 pages of Epstein docs, things that they were so eager to keep quiet. And, of course, there's more information that is out there that'll be part of this release after Mike Johnson has delayed and delayed and delayed. Remember, they take the entire month of August off anyway, and he added another week to that just so that there wouldn't be a release of these documents. But the Democrats released selectively a few documents that got the White House very upset. And so they had the Republicans start to release this other stuff. Because, you know, that's regardless of what is in it, and of course, we've already found some other things in it. The key issue is, this a long time ago, we were trying to do research in the state of North Carolina, and we were trying to get information about things that are being spent on various other things. And so we did a Freedom of Information request. And rather than respond to what we had asked for, what they did was they gave us a massive document dump and said, here, sort through this. That's one way that you can hide things, right? You can hide things by keeping it all secret, keeping it all hidden, or you can release a massive dump of information that takes forever for people to go through it, if they can find it at all. So Republicans on the House Oversight Committee released 20,000 additional documents from Epstein's estate on Wednesday, proclaiming, you deserve the full truth. Just hours after Democrat colleagues published emails by Epstein referencing Trump, the response came after the White House and House Republicans accused Democrats of selectively releasing emails in order to slander the president. Well, it's an established fact of what Donald Trump was. I don't know. When you look at somebody that's been involved with the tranny stuff from the very beginning, all the shenanigans that he did with his beauty contest that are now very well documented, all the many accusations of sexual assault, the realities of the sequential marriages, as well as other than the fact that, you know, divorce is very common in our society now, but it's not common for people to publicly humiliate their ex as he does with his former cabinet members as well. I don't know. How do you slander somebody who has already got an established character like that? They said you cherry picked these things, because what they did was they released this particular email here, which you see, this is between Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. G-Max is what she's referred to. I want you to realize that the dog that hasn't barked is Trump. The victim spent hours at my house with him. He has never been mentioned by the police chief, etc. I'm 75% of the way there, he says. So what was the victim that is there? Well, the Republicans are saying that that was redacted by the Democrats. They said the person that was referenced there was Virginia Guthrie. And they said, and by taking out that name, Virginia Guthrie, they did that deliberately because they wanted to make it sound like Trump was doing something to the victim. In other words, they put redacted there and then they wrote the word victim. But Virginia Guthrie has publicly said that she never witnessed wrongdoing by President Trump. And so what they're saying is that, you know, by redacting her name, they made it look like he had victimized somebody who was there. Not to say that he is innocent by any means, but he might be not guilty of that particular innuendo. Caroline Leavitt argued that the Democrats had selectively leaked emails to liberal media to create a false narrative to smear Trump. I don't think Trump participated in anything. Now she's the one who is lying. He was there for the longest time. Actually, American House Hippo has a channel on YouTube, The Bad Civil Servant, and I thought he had a particularly good solution to all this for Donald Trump, as he was talking about
the fake news.
The Terminator.
I told you that nobody named Jeffrey Epstein has ever existed. Elon Musk just got back from the time travel portal at the Pentagon. It's the greatest time portal ever. Cost $100 quintillion. It's all in the big, beautiful bill. Read it. It's there. Foreign countries are going to pay for it with tariffs. So Elon went back in time, killed Epstein's granddad, killed his grandma too, stuck some ketamine in him from behind. It was the greatest surprise time travel killing ever. Then Elon came back. On the way back, he stopped at a McDonald's in Canada. Elon's Canadian too, you know. Don't know how he speaks such fantastic English coming from both South Africa and Canada.
That's very funny. I like that a lot. And it goes on quite a bit. And he's got several AI videos that he's put up there. His channel is The Bad Civil Servant on YouTube. That's American House Hippo, who we all know from the comments here in Rumble. White House has named Epstein victim Virginia Guthrie, who the email says spent hours with Trump in an explosive response to a Democrat, quote, smear campaign. And so, again, if there's nothing there, why are they so hell-bent on hiding it and taking so much damage? You know, one of the things that we're going to take a look at is some exposés done by one news organization, and nobody else has picked this stuff up. And this is the fourth series that they've done. Each of these series has shown the very, very close ties that Epstein had to both Israeli and American intelligence, which is what Alex Acosta had said when he was telling the truth. Now he has recanted that and contradicted himself. And we know that that was what was happening. And we know that's why he got off. And perhaps that is why Trump is trying to hide all these documents. And yet, if he hung around with this guy for 15 years, and if he knew what was going on, of course he did, because Jeffrey Epstein said that. He says he knows about the girls. It's part of these emails that were released. He knows about the girls. He told Ghislaine to lay off and, you know, to stop it or whatever. And so you can look at that and say, well, maybe he was upset about that and did not want them doing it. Or maybe the aspect of it was he was already had mentioned several times that he was upset about the fact that his employees are being poached off of Mar-a-Lago by Jeffrey Epstein. And that, of course, is where Virginia Guthrie came from. She was working at as a spa attendant at Mar-a-Lago in 2000 when she was 16 years old. And that's where they recruited her. And so he said to lay off the girls. And yet one of the other things that came out, and I won't go into it in detail because of the language used, but the you also had Michael Wolff, who is also included in a lot of these emails. A lot of emails between Michael Wolff and Ghislaine Maxwell and, I'm sorry, between Michael Wolff and Epstein and Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. And one of the things that Wolff said was that they had a particular name for their partnership in order to get girls for Prince Andrew. There was a partnership there between Trump and Epstein. And so I don't believe that when he says he told them to stop with the girls, I don't think that it had anything to do with him having any kind of moral compunction about getting underage girls, because that was what they were involved in doing for Prince Andrew. In another email between Epstein and Wolff in January 2019, the convicted sex offender refers to his expulsion from Trump's Mar-a-Lago club. He said, "Trump said he asked me to resign," said Epstein. "I was never a member. Ever. Of course, he knew about the girls, as he asked to Ghislaine to stop." So December 15, 2015, Wolff wrote to Epstein on the subject line, "Heads up." The day of a Republican primary debate televised by CNN, he said, "I hear CNN planning to ask Trump tonight about his relationship with you, either on air or in the press scrum afterwards," Wolff wrote to Epstein. "If we were able to craft an answer for him, what do you think it should be?" Said Epstein. Wolff responded, "I think you should let him hang himself. If he says he hasn't been on the plane or to the house, then that gives you valuable PR and political currency."
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the healthcare and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
In other words, he has been on the plane. He has been to the house many, many times. He said, "You can hang him in a way that potentially generates a positive benefit for you, or if it really looks like he could win, you could save him, generating a debt. Of course, it is possible that when asked, he'll say Jeffrey is a great guy and has gotten a raw deal and is a victim of political correctness, which is to be outlawed in a Trump regime." So after all this happens and the Republicans said, you just selectively released some information there. What was Trump's reaction when the Republicans released 20,000 documents from the Epstein estate, 20,000 emails? Trump's response was to tell him to stop it. Don't release anything else. He was not happy about that. I thought they were defending him. But again, you have a four-year-old tweet that comes back to haunt J.D. Vance after the new Trump-Epstein revelation. And again, you know, what if J.D. Vance could go back in time travel, right? What would he get rid of? Maybe this tweet. So September the 4th, 2021, long before he was in any conversations to become Trump's running mate in 2024, Vance said, I think about this column by Matthew Walther about once a month. And he had a link to the column and published in The Week. It was titled, The Jeffrey Epstein Case is Why People Believe in Pizzagate. Vance also included a reply to his own post saying, remember when we learned that our wealthiest and most powerful people were connected to a guy who ran a literal child sex trafficking ring? And then that guy died mysteriously in jail? And now we don't talk about it? Walther's opinion piece, posted July 8, 2019, posed the question, was Trump speaking from personal experience when he said in 2002 that Epstein likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side? Well, back in 2016, Vance was a never-Trumper, going so far as to famously call the president America's Hitler. But then, of course, that was before the match made in hell by Peter Thiel and the technocrats. So, again, Jeffrey Wolf, you see, was advising Jeffrey Epstein. Both of them knew what was happening. I gotta say, it's really gonna grab a bag of popcorn because it's gonna be very interesting when this lawsuit between Wolf and Melania Trump, goes through discovery. It's gonna be very, very interesting. Well, there's also one person that put up, some pictures I thought were kind of interesting showing the similarity between the redecoration of the Oval Office and Jeffrey Epstein's house. It is truly amazing, exactly the same kinds of decorations on the walls, the gilded decorations, Epstein's Manhattan residence, and the Oval Office. These two guys were basically twins separated at birth, Jeffrey Epstein and Donald Trump. Actually, they were separated later by real estate greed. Both of them owned the same property. Well, I was talking about what maybe the real motivation, the biggest motivation perhaps for Trump, is to cover up for the intelligence agencies, especially Mossad. And this is an article by a site called Drop Site News. Israeli spy stayed for weeks at a time with Jeffrey Epstein in Manhattan. In mid-October, the House Oversight Committee released an interview with former U.S. prosecutor Alex Acosta, the guy who, as I said, was the one that was there in Florida, supposedly prosecuting Jeffrey Epstein, but essentially gave him an unbelievable sweetheart deal and let him off. And he was one of 92 such federal attorneys. And out of obscurity, somehow, Donald Trump picks this guy to be his labor secretary. And he was asked at that time, you know, why did you do this sweetheart deal? And he said, well, I was told that Epstein was intelligence. I need to lay off. Well, that really blew up big. And now he is denying that. Alex Acosta told the panel in October that contrary to widespread public reporting, he had never told Steve Bannon that Epstein belonged to intelligence. Actually, he told that to Congress. Acosta denied ever discussing with Epstein with Bannon, claimed to have no knowledge as to whether he was or was not a member of the intelligence community. Lying yet again. And so the new cache of documents from Epstein's estate shows some information about how, yes, he really was. And whatever Alex Acosta said, the documents say that he was. So you have a senior Mossad, I think he was a lieutenant colonel, who had links to Leon Panetta. And he lived at Epstein's house on multiple stretches from 2013 to 2016. And these leaks of emails that also came out from former Prime Minister Ehud Barak of Israel. And so if you cross-reference these new emails with others from Ehud Barak, it shows that Epstein was at the nexus, says DropSite News, Epstein was at the nexus of high-ranking intelligence agencies in the U.S. and Israel. And this is the fourth piece that they've done on this. In the first piece, DropSite News showed that Epstein was brokering a deal with Israel and Mongolia. The second piece, they showed that Epstein had set up a back channel between Russia and Israel during the Syrian war. In the third piece, they showed Epstein was the facilitator of a security agreement between Israel and the Ivory Coast. And they ask, why is it that nobody else in the media is reporting this? Your time is up. I think we know the answer, don't we? Who's controlling the media here? Just one example. You had Ehud Barak sending an email to this Lieutenant Colonel Koren, and in it, it was kind of interesting. He said, I had to leave town because I want you to return those red earbuds to the Apple store. And he said, they won't give me credit unless you use my credit card. So here's my, take my credit card and get that returned. That email was in English. All the other emails between Ehud Barak and this lieutenant colonel had been in Hebrew. And so he tells him to return that in English. And then the other guy, Koren, replies in Hebrew, what's her name? What's her name? The red headphones that he wants returned and paid off. And he replies in Hebrew, he says, Rachel Levin. I just about fell out of the chair when I saw that. That's the name of that tranny that was the deputy assistant of HHS under Biden, remember? The guy went by the name Rachel Levin. I hope it's not the same person. That'd be really ultra creepy, wouldn't it? He confirmed that it was a woman that they were talking about. And then afterwards, he sends him another email in English. He says, keep the card. And so as soon as Ehud Barak landed in Tel Aviv, he sent another message via email, said, we need to speak on the phone right away. And then Ehud Barak became head of the Israeli Defense Force, their army. And Koren became his liaison to the Pentagon, to people like Colin Powell and so forth. And throughout all of this, Ehud Barak's counterpart was Leon Panetta, who was very connected in all these emails. Leon Panetta had been with the CIA, and then he goes to become the Secretary of Defense. So Ehud Barak was the Prime Minister of Israel and involved in the skull and dagger stuff. And then he becomes head of the Israeli army. Leon Panetta was CIA and then becomes head of the American military. And the two of them were constantly working together. And Leon Panetta helped to get a 10-year, $38 billion gift to Israel. Yeah, that's where this stuff is all headed. This is why when you look at this, folks, it's an outrage what Epstein and Trump were doing just immediately. When you look at the trafficking of minors and their parties that they were doing and what the purpose of that was. But that's just the front end of all this. And the back end is all this corruption and the interconnection of Trump with Israel and Israeli intelligence. And you want to know who owns this guy? He is a shill for them. It's absolutely unbelievable what a shill he is. And so we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. And Travis, I guess, will be joining us soon.
I'm here.
Oh, he's here already. Well, Welcome, Travis. Good to have you on today. Travis is joining us from Austin, Texas, where he is for about a week or so. And if you want to cover the comments here, there's only a couple of them here, if you want to go through those.
Let's see. I didn't send those. I'm looking for them right now.
You don't have them yet. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Elvis.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
And the sweet sounds of Motown. Find them on the Oldies channel at APSradio.com.
Well, Trump has been on a pardoning spree.
Well, excuse me.
Yeah, he's excusing a lot of people and a lot of very bad people and very bad conduct. Now, one aspect of this is he just excused Rudy Giuliani, and I guess Rudy Giuliani is no longer sweating hair dye over this because of his pardon, except the problem is that the people like Rudy Giuliani and Mark Meadows and Sidney Powell and many others are not really facing federal charges. They're facing state charges. And so this is really what
Trump had to pardon. Trump had to pardon Giuliani. He thinks about that, you know, wonderful romantic moment they had with Giuliani in drag. And
that's right.
Gets all mushy about it. Oh, I have to pardon Giuliani.
Yeah, we're going to see that at Mar-a-Lago. Maybe Giuliani can enter a beauty contest. Maybe Trump can do a beauty contest for older trannies, and we could have Rudy Giuliani in it as well. But
Giuliani, what a beautiful woman he is.
This is... this is really just an optics that he's putting out there to give them full, complete, and unconditional pardon when they're not charged. You know, it's kind of interesting because he could have done that for the J-6ers, but he didn't do that, right? And you heard all these Trump apologists saying he can't pardon people before they're charged with anything. Well, he just pardoned Rudy and these other people before they were charged. Biden did it for Hunter. But, you know, as I said before, when we go back to the Insurrection Act that was at the center of all this back and forth, Republicans and Democrats, in January the 6th, that was put in after the Civil War. They wanted to come after people who had fought for the Confederacy. And the president at the time, Andrew Johnson, said, we're not going to continue down this road. And he issued a blanket pardon for everybody who had fought with the Confederacy. Trump could have done the same thing with January the 6th. And it wasn't even just that. In more recent history, we had Gerald Ford, who had pardoned Richard Nixon before he was ever indicted for anything after Nixon resigned. And so, as a matter of fact, I saw somebody quote Gerald Ford at the end of this shutdown. They said, our prolonged national nightmare has finally ended, or something to that effect. It was an exact quote of the words that Gerald Ford had said when he pardoned Nixon. You know, we're going to move on from this. So the proclamation is about people who were never charged federally over the election issues. Trump's continued efforts to promote the idea that the 2020 election was stolen from him, even though courts around the country and Trump's own attorney general at the time found no evidence of fraud. And this is the Associated Press saying this. And then Ed Martin, the Department of Justice's point man on pardons and a former lawyer for J6 defendants, tweeted out on X, he said, "No MAGA left behind." Really? All the J6ers were left behind to twist in the wind, to be persecuted by Biden, to be sent to prison, many of them tortured, you know, long times in solitary confinement, and actually beaten by the guards in many cases. Also pardoned were Sidney Powell, John Eastman, another lawyer who pushed a plan to keep Trump in power, and Jeffrey Clark, a former Justice Department official who championed Trump's efforts to challenge his election loss. Well, Ghislaine Maxwell is seeking a commutation, and the documents have now been released to show that she's expecting to be pardoned. And, of course, P. Diddy also, you know, especially if you are a if you're a sex offender, some kind of a predator, somebody with connections to intelligence, you go to the front of the list, along with the people who are friends of Jared Kushner and real criminals who deserve to be in prison. One of the things that bothered me so much at the end of Trump's reign the first time, and a lot of things are bothering me. The whole January the 6th thing bothered me, the Stop the Steal and the Save America grifts that were there. But at the very end, the fact that there were a lot of political prisoners, that there was some hope that that people in his regime might pardon, because there'd already been a pardon of those ranchers that were at the center of the Malheur standoff, and they were railroaded over fake charges of arson and things like that that the BLM had come against them for. And there were hopes that other people who had been locked up for political reasons would be released and pardoned. Like Ross Ulbricht, for example, who was not pardoned until Trump wanted to make common cause with the crypto community and promised to do that. But there are many people, Francis Schaeffer Cox, Marty Gottesfeld, many people who are political prisoners really deserve to be pardoned. But instead, what he did was he pardoned people like this creep. This felon who was freed by Trump has now been sentenced again, this time to 27 months in prison. A Brooklyn federal judge found that Jonathan Braun had violated the rules of his release by sexually assaulting a nanny. Did you know that when you're released as a prisoner, that's one of the things you're not supposed to do? You're not supposed to do that even if you're not on parole. He swung an IV pole at a nurse. He beat other people, including a child, and he dodged the tolls in his luxury cars. Evidently, he has both a Ferrari and a Lamborghini, but he couldn't be bothered to pay the $4 at the tolls, so he would skip through those things. It's kind of interesting what he did. He was a Long Island drug dealer, and when I looked at all this stuff, I thought, as I started reading this guy and his connections to people, he was threatening people in a synagogue and beating people in a synagogue. And he's Jewish himself. I thought, I bet he's a friend of the Kushner crime family. He sounds exactly like one of them. And lo and behold, and I wrote that in my comments here, because I like to read the stuff without, and make my comments when I make my first pass through it. And I get about two or three pages into it, and sure enough, it was his connections to Jared Kushner and the Kushner crime family that got him the pardon in the first place. Recent conviction.
Marijuana drug dealer being friends with the Kushner family is a little funny. It's a little funny.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't get that reference, but.
Kush is slang for marijuana.
Is it? Okay. Well, I didn't know that.
I doubt it was marijuana that he was selling.
Well, they say it was, and they say that he got it out of Canada. And I read that, I wrote, and then I said, well, maybe this is where Trump got that, got confused. It wasn't fentanyl, but it was marijuana that was coming. And it was people who were friends with the Kushner family. So that's, I guess, what was in the back of his mind there. The recent conviction of Jonathan Braun, a drug dealer pardoned by Trump for molesting his children's nanny, sexually molesting, by the way, and threatening a synagogue congregant. Braun has been accused of numerous violent incidents since his release, including assaulting a toddler and a man at a Shabbat dinner. Again, the Kushner Jewish mafia that's there. Will Trump pardon P. Diddy and Maxwell? Well, it seems perfectly in character for the kinds of people that he's been pardoning out there. Jonathan Braun, now 41, landed a 27-month sentence for violating the terms of his presidential pardon with fresh new crimes. There is a disgusting description here of what he actually did to the nanny. If you want to read it, you can read it yourself, but I'm not going to read it to you. His victim was so upset with this that she dialed in to Monday's sentencing hearing by phone, and she asked the prosecutors,
"Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, 'I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going.' Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
To read her victim impact statement in court for her because she couldn't read it. She was too upset by it. She said that she had endured deep emotional trauma that left her, quote, with lasting trust issues, and added that she was, quote, grateful that justice had been served, unquote. Her disturbing assault was just one of a string of violent incidents that this person, Trump, pardoned, has been accused of since his release. He was serving a 10-year sentence, and Trump pardoned him at the behest of the Kushners, after doing only 3 years of the 10-year sentence. He was first busted in 2010 for orchestrating a major cannabis distribution ring, millions of dollars worth of weed from Canada to New York. Again, like I said, maybe this is what Trump was thinking of when he said, getting all of our drugs from Canada. No, that's just your friends and your family, Trump, that are getting the drugs from Canada. He secured a plea deal in the case, and then he landed behind bars for 10 years, even with the plea deal, until his pardon by Trump. The convicted drug dealer, who took a picture with Trump at one of his Florida golf courses in 2022, then was arrested in August of 2024 for allegedly slugging his wife and his 75-year-old father-in-law.
I mean, crap, this guy attacks toddlers, 75-year-old men.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds very much like it's right on par for the Kushner guys. You know, if you look back at what Jared Kushner's dad was convicted of doing, right, he was bribing officials and then his sister and brother-in-law were going to expose that, and he basically set his brother-in-law up with a honeypot, I believe. I'm just going by memory. I didn't look that up. But, yeah, it was disgusting, in order to blackmail them. Just like Jeffrey Epstein. You know, you set up these sexual honeypots so that you can blackmail somebody. Anyway, then the month after the molesting his nanny, he allegedly punched a man during an argument at a Shabbat dinner at his Long Island home before shoving the victim's 3-year-old son to the ground, causing a red mark on his back and substantial pain. The convicted marijuana distributor, who has family ties to Trump, here we go, Charles Kushner, also attacked a congregant praying at a synagogue and assaulted a hospital nurse in separate incidents in recent months. They tried to attack her with an IV pole. I don't know. Was he on the IV pole, or was it somebody else's IV pole that he took away from him? Do you know who I am, he said, as he beat this guy in the synagogue. You know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I could have done to you? Yeah, just be grateful that all he did was beat you, right? Braun was freaking out all over the place, said the guy who was beaten, Edward Miller, adding that the confrontation had started after he asked him to be quiet. Braun also headed shady finance firms that charged sky-high interest. Here's where he's even more like the Kushners. On small business loans, sometimes as high as 1,000%. You know, we just completely eviscerated all the loan shark laws, right? When they got rid of the usury laws I guess it was under Carter. As inflation was taking off, you know, it had been a ceiling of 10%. You couldn't charge anybody more than 10%. Now look at what happens all the time with credit cards. And then you have people who are literal loan sharks still. Now they have to go up to 1,000%. And I guess there's no law against that. He often, however, bullied or threatened customers with physical violence in order to collect on the debts, said authorities. So they're not going after him for 1,000% loans, small businesses, but for the threats of assault and battery. Prosecutors had sought a 5-year sentence over Braun's recent brazen and violent conduct, which they said caused fear and terror in his victims and proved that he was a serious danger to the community. And by the way, before we leave this interest thing, you know, again, it used to be criminal to charge people confiscatory interest rates. It should be again. I think it's absolutely an outrage when you look at the credit card rates that are out there. I mean, I'm not Dave Ramsey, but, you know, that part of it, I think, is absolutely criminal. But it's the banks, so we let them do whatever they want.
I saw a funny headline from the Babylon Bee the other day. It just said, David Ramsey in critical condition after learning a 50-year mortgage plan.
Yeah, that was funny, yeah. you're going to go into debt for how long?
Yeah. I also have to say, it just feels like we used to have even a better class of criminals surrounding the White House. Sure, yeah. They were scumbags and they were selling out America, but they weren't just this low-level thug, you know, type of person that just beats people in public.
Yeah, or if they were, they tried to keep it quiet. You know, now they do it. They do it at public.
This guy's just out there screaming, beating people with IV poles. Seems like everywhere he goes, at all times, he's just this violent thug character.
Yeah,
he's more, you know, Scarface than Italian mafia.
That's right. Well, his defense lawyer said, these violent meltdowns were caused by his use of hallucinogenic drugs. Is that supposed to excuse them? You know,
was
the guy
he having reefer madness?
Yeah, this is something that's always been a real big issue to me. You know, when we talk about somebody murdering somebody, you know, they use the insanity plea, and it's like, well, yeah, I mean, seems like anybody could use that excuse because a sane person doesn't do that. So you are by definition insane. And the guy who killed my aunt and uncle said, well, I was on drugs at the time. It's like, well, you were sober when you took the drugs. I mean, that may be the reason, but it is not an excuse. And it's not an excuse for this guy either. And it's not just people like, you know, Rudy and Sidney Powell who don't even have any federal charges that Trump is pardoning, or this guy who is a hardcore criminal, white collar and otherwise, that Trump pardoned, takes pictures with him at his golf course, and then he continues down this life of crime. But I guess really the bigger issue is what happened on Tuesday, where he brings where he basically pardons this Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Al-Nusra, terrorist that the Pentagon has put in charge of Syria and is continuing to mass murder Alawites and Christians through Syria, that Assad never did that. But this guy is an Al-Qaeda terrorist, true to form, still doing the same kind of stuff. I mean, that's even bigger than this particular drug dealer that is there. Now, I saw this, one of the things that bothered me about this, I saw some person put out, said, I just can't understand how we would allow this guy close enough to pat the U.S. president on the back. And they show a picture of him in his terrorist garb. It's like, well, first of all, you need to understand, he wasn't patting Trump on the back. Trump is patting him on the back and essentially giving him a pardon for all this stuff. And when we talked about Trump virtue signaling about the Christians that are being mass murdered in Nigeria, we said at the time that is nothing other than virtue signaling to the Christian community. He's not going to do anything about it. He doesn't have the authority to do anything about it. And I really don't think he's going to do anything about it. He didn't do anything at all to help the Armenians who are being slaughtered by the Azerbaijan people. He claims that he stopped that, and the Azerbaijan guy was laughing about it, caught on a hot mic in the UN, laughing about Trump's claims of brokering a peace deal there. He didn't do anything of the sort. And, of course, Trump doesn't do anything in Syria either, as this is happening. Instead, what he does is he invites the guy in to the White House. So maybe he'll do that with a Nigerian leader. You know, they can all come in, have a few laughs at how stupid everybody does. Isn't it amazing that Trump did this with this Al-Qaeda guy and this the Muslim terrorist?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward. But that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
He did it on Veterans Day. And when you look at all of the, the outrage over Mom Danny being elected in New York, again, that is simply because of his position of being anti-Israeli government. It has nothing to do with him being a Muslim or a Marxist or a socialist or whatever. Because these are the kind of guys that are true government. The intelligence agencies and the Pentagon. That's the real government. This is the kind of guy that they love, the kind of guy that they use for their geopolitics. It doesn't matter to them that these people are murdering terrorists. It doesn't matter to them who they kill, as long as they can use them against the Russians, because that's the geopolitical game. We got to check the Russians. We got to make sure the Russians don't get a pipeline across Syria. We want our allies to have the pipeline. We got to make sure that they don't have a pipeline into Germany for natural gas. So we'll blow that one up. Yeah, it's all about those types of games. They don't care about terrorism. They indulge in terrorism. They do assassinations. You know, Trump is proud of his assassination of the military leader in Iran in his first regime. And they're proud of dropping bombs on other countries. And this guy was put in power by the U.S. government. I talked about that when it happened in December. Remember, we showed the clips of A-10 Warthogs that were doing air support, close-in air support, for this guy and these Muslim terrorists to take over Syria. Why? Because we had to get Assad out, because he was allied with Russia. And that's the game that matters to them. Who controls the oil? Who controls the gas? Who is keeping Russia in check? Those are the things that matter to them. They don't care about our lives. They don't care about the lives of Christians in other countries or anybody else, for that matter. Persistent violence is fueling fear among post-Assad Syrians. The Islamist Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, just called HTS, are now in power in Syria, put there by the American government. They installed them. You know, for the longest time, and this is one of the things that I had complimented General Flynn on. He said what everybody knew and had been reported. He says, yes, we are supplying ISIS, and we're giving them weapons, and we're using them. And again, this is, you know, we put these people in charge and gave them weapons. HTS present the idea of a united Syria, but in practice, they and their allies continue to persecute minority groups with impunity. The Alawite massacres, the Christian massacres. Nothing matters as long as they've got an ally to halt Russian influence. It's all about the geopolitics. We need to call these people not neocons. We need to call them geocons. They don't care about anything except their geopolitical games. While the HTS tries to cozy up to the Western world, Syria's Christian community is not immune from attacks. In June, a large-scale bombing against St. Elias Church in Dawila, Damascus, killed at least 27, and now threatening signs are being left on yet more Damascus churches. One of the messages left on St. Elias' church, just a bit northeast of Damascus, ominously warned, after St. Elias, it's St. Elias Mared's turn. Another message was left on the St. Cyrilos Church in Damascus itself, written on the walls, declaring, our meeting is near, you pigs of the cross. So again, this is Trump's phony virtue signaling about Nigeria when he brings this guy into the White House. On Veterans Day, how many veterans died thinking that they were fighting these people who are actually the allies of the CIA? You know, this is way beyond Tim Osman, actually. Alawite and Christian groups were pressing Trump to hold the leader of al-Shara he's not the leader of Al-Sharis's name, accountable for protecting Syria's minorities. Shara suggested that Trump didn't bring up his past as a key Al-Qaeda figure during his meeting, nor does he appear to have pressed Shara on much of anything. With all indications that the meeting was a friendly one, focused on lifting the sanctions that had been put against Syria while Assad was running the country. And so, again, he says Trump didn't bring up any of his Al-Qaeda past. He said, when asked about it, he says, well, I think this is now a matter of the past. We did not discuss this actively. Yeah, Trump didn't ask him any questions about Al-Qaeda. Didn't ask him any questions about 9-1-1. Why? Well, because Trump knows, just like Rudy Giuliani knows, that 9-11 was an inside job, that Al-Qaeda was being run, and Tim Osman, also known as Osama bin Laden, being run by the CIA. They were their surrogates, their puppets. It's always been a bunch of nonsense. Trump did ask how many wives the guy had, and he did then spray him with perfume, because, you know, when you get that close to one of these stinking terrorists, you got to do something.
This is men's fragrance. Yeah. It's the best fragrance. Come here,
thanks, mate. I have no one here, sir. Thank
you. Yeah, let's spray these terrorists here so we can tolerate
it. Just take that, Joe, put it in. And then the other one is your wife. How many wives?
Your wife.
You guys said never know, right?
We're all buddies. We're all pals, right? I wonder if Trump washed his hands of the blood. You think he did that? Maybe he can make this guy a perfume distributor for Trump perfume in Syria. What do you think?
I mean, ISIS is probably an untapped market for perfume sales.
That's right. Yeah, these guys probably don't care about perfume, right?
Keep the whole bottle.
It's important to realize, you know, we know that the Iraqi war and the war in Afghanistan, it was a crock. There was no reason to be there. It was, once again, America's bullying, insane foreign policy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the narrative has been, you know, for years, the military was there for good reasons. They're heroes.
Yeah.
And this spits in the face of the official narrative. He doesn't even care to maintain the continuity of what they've been saying.
That's right.
You know, we can look at this and agree that the military shouldn't have been there.
That's
but
right.
The American people, the average person, looks at this and they think, you know, the military was there promoting freedom. They were bringing democracy. And these guys are the enemy. They were in the antithesis of everything we were trying to achieve there for, you know, the greater good.
Yeah, they killed American soldiers. You know, they were being sent there for no good reason. We were lied into that war by lies from the person that Trump made the head of the CIA when he got in there, Gina Haspel. So she lied us into a war with lies about weapons of mass destruction that didn't exist. Then we go to fight people that he's now giving perfume to in the Oval Office. What a crock this whole thing is. And he does it on Veterans Day, where he's supposed to be honoring the people who were killed to fight for quote-unquote freedom. You are not fighting for freedom. If you fight for the American government, you are deceived. I tell you, this is it's just disgusting to see this. When asked if he had any regrets that Al-Qaeda carried out the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon on September 11, 2001, Shara said he wasn't involved with the group at the time. Which group would that be? The CIA? That's a very diplomatic answer, isn't it? He doesn't say, we didn't do it. He says, I wasn't with the group. Which group? He first joined Al-Qaeda after the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003 to fight U.S. troops. So at what point did he join the CIA? That's what I'd like to know, right? He was imprisoned by the U.S. military from 2006 to 2011. I guess that was when.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps.
In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic.
Keep your eyes on the road.
Hop on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly.
Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
That happened. After that, he traveled to Syria, where he founded the Al-Qaeda affiliate in the country, known as the Al-Nusra Front, which we reported many times they were seen being given weapons, you know, drops and everything by the U.S. government. At the time, he was allied with Bakr al-Baghdadi, the founder of ISIS. Then he rebranded himself in 2016. You know, everything is fine as long as they change the name, right? You go from the Mujahideen, which they were using to fight Russia. And, McCain going around to Republican women's groups. You want to adopt a Muj? And he would have these guys with him. And then they go from that to Al-Qaeda, then to, ISIS, then to Al-Nusra, and now this, latest HTS. He cut ties with Al-Qaeda, merged his jihadist group with other factions to form HTS, which was then put in power in Damascus with American aid and air support. So Syria has joined the U.S.-led anti-ISIS coalition. What a joke. What a joke. That the U.S. is planning to establish now a military base in Damascus. So again, these are the geocons with their geopolitics. We're going to stop this pipeline going across Syria for the Russians. We'll put one going across Syria for our Arab allies. And then we'll get a military base that we'll put there. That's all they care about. This is just the raw exercise of power. These people have no principles. They have no concern about innocent life, whether it's Americans or Christians or whoever it is. The Pentagon always uses these Muslim terrorists as allies to fight their rival, Russia. I guess we have to ask Travis, are we the baddies? I think Hans. We are. Hans, are we the baddies? I think so. Let's go over the comments. Do you have the comments here?
I am pulling them up as we speak.
I see one here. Is Tony Arterburn on today? No, Tony is traveling today. He's not going to be on today. But we do have news about gold and Bitcoin and stablecoin, so stick with us on that.
President Obante, 1776, says, here is a point. What terrorist in the Oval Office has killed more people, the Al-Qaeda guy from Syria or Conald J. Trump?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that would be Trump, actually. Just with his vaccines, but I think also with the wars, the direct wars, you can say certainly they are acting as terrorists. In Venezuela. I mean, for example, okay, they just had the military capture a drug boat. This is the way it's typically done, right? This is what law enforcement looks like. You intercept a boat, you grab the people, you arrest them. Oh, we found drugs. So now as part of our war on drugs, which they don't have any constitutional authority for, they will now do a law enforcement action. But, you know, when you just shoot from a distance with a missile, why are we still doing this? I mean, why don't we just blow people out of the water? Well, because that's a crime. That's a crime in America. It's a crime internationally, what Trump and these other people are doing. We're talking about terrorists. They are the terrorists. And that's not even talking about the terrorism that he imposed on people with the genetic code injection that he is so proud of, that he says that he's the father of. Go ahead.
We've got Steve Ebb says, I thought there were no documents to dump.
That's right. It was all a hoax, right?
to see here.
Well, Trump is telling them, no more. Don't let anything else out there. Something's going to come out that's going to, you know, show people what I'm doing.
That must be a very cluttered desk that she has if she can miss all of these documents on it.
Yeah, I saw somebody put up a funny meme showing what her desk must look like. And it was stuff all over the place, littered all over the place.
It was just completely covered.
Yeah.
It's impossible to find anything.
That's right.
We've got Nathan Bedford Forrest, 1865, says, he asked Ghislaine to stop poaching girls from Mar-a-Lago, not to stop abusing underage girls. Trump did not want Epstein stealing his girls. That's right. He doesn't care about the abuse. Just, hey, these are mine. These are my girls to abuse. Go get your own underage girls.
Yeah. Yeah, I found Virginia Guthrie to work in my spa here, and I don't want you taking her away to work on Prince Andrew.
We have Buzzy Mateo says the emails don't prove Trump did anything inappropriate with underage girls. They only suggest, however, they do prove that Epstein, Israel, had and has leverage on him. That is a huge problem.
Yeah, that's right. That's the what's there in the front that everybody sees is the crime about the sexual stuff and everything. But the bigger issue in the back is the fact that this is a big sex blackmail ring. And of course, that's exactly what the CIA does. You know, CIA does it, Mossad does it, they all do that. There was a trove of documents released not too long ago about the CIA doing that in San Francisco, but we know they do that. That's a long established principle of everybody. I mean, the Chinese are doing it. They did it with Eric Swalwell. And yet he didn't get kicked out of Congress. It's truly amazing. They had a honeypot there with an Asian girl. Go ahead.
Yeah. Buzzy Mateo continues, if the press runs with this, a full-out invasion of Venezuela will happen within weeks, or an event, quote-unquote, will happen in the Middle East or the U.S. Yeah, this keeps coming on out, then mm-hmm. something has got to happen somewhere. Hey, look over there. Don't pay attention to this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Shelley A. says, if the court records are still there from New York, Trumpet paid the families of a few kids a couple million in a lawsuit.
Yeah.
They're always covering something up.
That's right. That's right.
Hi.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, folks, and we'll be right back.
Making sense common again. You're listening to the David Knight Show.
Hello, it's me, Volodymyr Zelensky. I'm so tired of wearing these same t-shirts everywhere for years. You'd think with all the billions I've skimmed off America, I could dress better. And I could, if only David Knight would send me one of his beautiful gray MacGuffin hoodies or a new black t-shirt with the MacGuffin logo in blue. But he told me to get lost. Maybe one of you American suckers can buy me some at thedavidknightshow.com. You should be able to buy me several hundred. Those amazing sand-colored microphone hoodies are so beautiful. I'd wear something other than green military cosplay to my various galas and social events. If you want to save on shipping, just put it in the next package of bombs and missiles coming from the USA.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Well, welcome back. And speaking of our pal there, Vladimir Zelensky, Volodymyr, I guess. He's Volodymyr and Putin is Vladimir. So different emphasis on different syllables. But anyway, the Western media is now beginning damage control after a $100 million corruption scandal is rocking Ukraine. And folks, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Everybody has talked about how corrupt Ukraine is, and has been. I mean, even Bill Gates has said it's the most corrupt country on earth. And he would know because he goes around bribing governments everywhere. So he would know that he could get what he wants out of Ukraine. And so it's absolutely unacceptable that amid all of this, there are also some schemes in the energy sector, said Zelensky. Oh, yeah, you know, remember that was... That was what Hunter Biden was involved in. He was somehow an energy expert. Or maybe his expertise lay elsewhere. Maybe it was his crime family connections. You know, just like Trump's got his own crime family and he's connected to the Kushner crime family as well. Well, same thing with the Bidens as well. But Western media have immediately launched into damage control. One op-ed in Bloomberg trying its best to say that this is not at all the fault of Ukraine. But somehow the Russians are behind it. There are at least two legitimate responses, they said, to allegations that a group of highly placed Ukrainian officials have skimmed only $100 million. I mean, that's, again, that's small chump change considering the amount of money that we know these people are skimming off. I mean, just remember at the very beginning of this how there was this whole list of properties that were put in... shell corporations that had connections to Zelensky's wife. I mean, it was like all these different villas and everything all over the world. It was like a bunch of Mondrowski dolls, you know, one shell corporation inside of another shell corporation, all them tracing back to his wife who was going shopping in Paris and spending $50,000 an hour on clothes. The corruption is massive there. And so they're trying to... cover all of this stuff up, but we know exactly what is happening with all of it. And as a matter of fact, when you look at what is going on, we've got American troops now practicing in the jungles of Panama, getting ready to attack the Venezuelan people. Another Vinny Nam is what I think it ought to be called. 1, 2, 3, what are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a nam. Next stop is Vinny Nam. The U.S. Army is preparing also... to purchase 1 million drones. to secure domain dominance on the modern battlefield. Because now drones have emerged as really the asymmetric warfare of the air. You know, when we look at the fact that we can go into a country, as we have time and again, we can, from the air, destroy their infrastructure and the military. Except then you decide that you're going to go in and occupy the place with boots on the ground. And that's when the asymmetric warfare starts, with the improvised explosive devices and other things like that. Well, the drones have been the neutralizing force behind these expensive tank systems. It doesn't matter if it's a state-of-the-art Russian tank or if it's a state-of-the-art German or American tank. They're all very vulnerable to these drones. So nearly 4 months after Warpeet announced sweeping reforms aimed at achieving drone domain dominance by 2027. So we don't have it yet. Including a Pentagon-wide procurement overhaul led by DOGE, the U.S. Army is preparing to acquire at least 1 million drones over the next few years. So it's not all at once. This is going to be over 2 to 3 years, meaning that they're planning on purchasing about 333,000 to 500,000, depending on the amount of time that takes, annually. Right now, they are purchasing 50,000 drones, so that is a huge jump. They're going up by 6 to 10 times what they're currently purchasing. And if you think that's a lot, and it is, and you need to understand that at the same time, Ukraine is producing 4 million a year. Not 333,000, not a half a million a year, but 4 million a year. And so is Russia. And China is producing 8 million a year. So our goal is to get up from 50,000 to maybe 500,000. We are really lagging behind. You know, this is yet another sign of a decaying empire. Not only the belligerence that we see there, the arrogance that continues to exceed, but totally bankrupt and behind. You know, it's like a massive tree that has died and is hollowed out on the inside, just waiting for a wind or a lightning strike to take it down. And we are inviting the whirlwind by our foreign policies. So this is taking lessons from Russia's war in Ukraine, which has been characterized by drone deployments on an unprecedented scale. The inexpensive drones have proven to be the most potent weapon in the Russian-Ukrainian war. Conventional warplanes are rarely used because of the dense concentration of anti-aircraft systems near the front lines. Ukraine and Russia each produce roughly 4 million a year, again, but China doubled that number. We are... You know, meanwhile, we are provoking wars everywhere, left and right. And as I talked about with the boat capture, blowing people out of the water that we have not bothered to find out if they even have drugs on the boat. Let alone we don't know their name. We don't know if they have any drugs on. And certainly we do know that these boats are not capable of making the journey to the U.S. So it is illegal and a lie in every regard. So, again, drones of the future of warfare in America will come from behind to lead the way. Well, we are way, way, way behind. China's making 8 million a year. We're making 50,000 a year.
We will lead the way with 1/16th of the production of our competitors.
Yeah, that's right. So, Russia is saying that they will break the nuclear test ban only if the U.S. does so first. And they appropriately said that what Trump is saying about the fact that they were doing weapons tests of delivery vehicles, they were not exploding bombs. They said to draw a shallow and inaccurate conclusion by conflating nuclear power system trials with nuclear tests of bombs. And that is exactly what Trump has been doing. This was a story that I wanted to cover, but we were not here on Tuesday. And this was a war veteran of World War II, 100 years old now. His name is Alec Pinstone. And he said when he was put on a news program in Great Britain, it's Good Morning to Britain show, He was their guest. And he said, and to their surprise, that the sacrifice that was necessary to win World War II was not worth it, not worth the result that we have now. It was both a commentary on war and a commentary on the war being conducted against the British people by their own government, as every government is doing right now. He was a Royal Navy veteran who was involved in D-Day landings. He said he paid his dues in spades. His comments certainly surprised the host, but it did not surprise the millions of internet viewers who sympathized with his lament. He and his comrades, they said, fought for freedom. Yet today, he said, things are a darn sight worse. He said, I can see in my mind's eye rows and rows of white stones of all the hundreds of my friends and everybody else that gave their lives. And for what, he said? The country of today? No, I'm sorry. The sacrifice wasn't worth the result that it is now. What do you mean by that? Said one of the hosts. Well, what we fought for was our freedom, and we fought for it. Even now, it's a darn sight worse than when I fought for it. He was 15 years old and working in a factory when the war broke out in 1939. He was drafted and assigned on board a submarine in 1943 before moving to a ship which was a minesweeper searching for for U-boats during the D-Day landing on June 6, 1944. So he wasn't specific about what freedoms he was alluding to. Well, I guess we have to ask, what freedoms are left in the UK, right? They don't have equal protection of the law. They punish people for speech. And they have released over and over again a massive number of criminals. It's now up to several hundred that they've gone back and said, you know, we keep accidentally releasing these criminals, violent criminals who come in to the country illegally. They commit crimes. They put them in prison, and they release them again. The Telegraph said surveys of public opinion confirm that the UK nationals feel that their country has gotten worse in the last 5 years and will not get any better in the next.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the healthcare and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change. And the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino?
Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto.
I like my slots hot.
Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Next 5 years. Yeah, we got to make the world safe for democracy. Well, you have to have a just society. And when you're talking about a just society, you better make sure that begins by not having unjust wars. Because war is the lifeblood of the state, but it is the death of the rest of us. The money and the lives that it takes is destroys a society, and when it's done on an unjust basis, you don't even have to wait for the sowing and reaping principle. God will take care of that. So an unjust society doesn't have any foundation. An unjust society is not worth fighting for. As somebody said, you know, once you a revolution A war is when you fight who they tell you to fight. A revolution is when you figure out who the enemy is yourself. And we have to understand that right now, this is truly, first and foremost, if you want to have a lasting foundation for your society, you're going to have to fight a spiritual war. And so there was a meme that was put up by a lot of people. You can see that in the article there, Lance. You scroll down. And it's a World War II soldier who is screaming at one of these cops that is, you know, again, they don't dress like bobbies anymore. These guys are wearing caps like American police officers. And the soldier says, "I sacrificed my life to secure this country's freedom and freedom of speech. Now you arrest people for words while turning a blind eye to crimes committed by invaders." Yeah. Just as we had on our Veterans Day, we had U.S. In the U.S. we have Trump meeting with an al-Qaeda leader from Syria on Veterans Day in the Oval Office. And again, why are we getting involved in these geopolitical wars? And who is it that is controlling us? Well, you know, decades ago, Bibi Netanyahu was talking about how they own the United States. How many times has he had to tell us that? Trump has told us that. He's talked about how Miriam Adelson loves Israel more than the U.S. and how Congress used to be owned by the Israelis, but now only he is. And so you better send your money to me. Israel, send your money to me, care of the White House.
There's never going to be a country like what we have right now.
And does that
mean Republicans have to talk about it, Laura?
And does that mean the H-1B visa thing will not be?
That's the wrong clip. Hang on a second. That's in the wrong button here. It's mislabeled. So we're not going to play the BB clip, I guess, because it's not in there.
Which clip?
BB decades ago, bragging about how Israel owns the U.S. That clip is not in there. It's just a reminder, folks, that when we're talking about Israel, what we're talking about is a government. We're not talking about an ethnic group of people. We're not talking about anything that's biblical. The state of Israel is about as unbiblical as you can find anything here. So, you know, you also got people who understand that who are Jewish.
Hey, New Yorker, I just voted Mamdani and I spoke for the Israeli TV now that were in shock that so many Jewish people support Mamdani. And they were even more shocked that we all know that they commit genocide against the Palestinian people. So, hey, New Yorkers, vote for Mamdani. Don't be afraid. We can change the world if we all do the right thing. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, when you look at all of the angst about Mamdani with people like Mark Levin and Shapiro and Trump, it's simply because he's opposed to the state of Israel. We don't actually have a problem with Muslim terrorists, right? We invite them into the Oval Office.
My name is Rabbi David Feldman. I'm with Neturei Karta International. We are standing here on the steps of New York City, City Hall. And we are here while we are unfortunately seeing this terrible intimidation against a candidate for mayor here in the city, Mr. Mamdani. And this is disturbing to so many Jewish people. This harassment and these intimidations is about his brave stance, the speaking up to what he believes is right, and he is speaking up against the crimes being committed to the Palestinian people. Now, they are condemning him as anti-Semitic because he is against the state of Israel. This is misleading. This is unjust, and this is dangerous. We need politicians to be on the right side of history and to speak up for the oppressed. We as New Yorkers, we as citizens of the United States, we should admire brave politicians, and we should give them the freedom to express what they believe is right. And we encourage people, voters, to vote what is in the interest of our city and not in the interest of a foreign country, the state of Israel, and certainly not in the interest of crimes being committed to the other side of the world. We as Jewish people say that conflating anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism, conflating Judaism with Zionism, is not only doing injustice to the Palestinian people, this is dangerous for the Jewish people as well. Because what this is doing is, this is generalizing all Jews, saying that God forbid all Jews are in support of all these crimes, which ends up making a statement that all Jews are accountable to what is taking place. This is anti-Semitism. And this generalization is racism. This is not done by some
people out there. This is done by this movement of Zionism who claims to represent all Jews. In no way does the state of Israel or its actions represent world Jewry, and certainly it doesn't represent the Jewish religion. All that Israel stands for is in total violation not only of international law, but violation of Judaism. This has to be stopped. We urge right-minded people to be brave and to raise their voice.
We need to all come to the realization, you know, if you are Jewish, the government of Israel doesn't support you. They support their own interests. They got their own agenda. If you're American, the American government doesn't support you. They've got their own interests, and they have contempt for your life. Just like in the UK, the government there does not support the traditions or the rule of law or the British people. As one person put up, one World War II, we lost Britain. You're not being tolerant. You're not being inclusive. You're not being open-minded. You're being conquered. And this is true in every government that we see. And it doesn't matter whether it's U.S., Israel, or U.K. The people who are running these governments are against their own people. That's the reality of this. Well, we're going to take a quick break. Travis, you want to read the comments?
He's not back yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll read them then. Ingios Sonita.
Oh, he just got back. Sorry.
Okay. You there? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. The last one that we missed was Shelley A. saying they are all fedophiles, which, yes,
that's
basically, basically everyone in the government is indeed a fedophile. And I'm waiting on the next batch to come in.
We have a feral government, and it's run by fedophiles. This is Angios Sunita. Says, my husband is a veteran and did 5 tours, 4 in Iraq and 1 in Afghanistan, during the GWOT and OIF.
Global War on Terror and Operation Iraqi Freedom.
Okay, thank you. To see Frump do this is absolutely disgusting and insulting. It is a slap in the face to all the people who went. I mean, they were lied to about weapons of mass destruction, and now all of the things that we were called conspiracy theorists for have now been shown to be true. I mean, we've seen the air support to put these Al-Qaeda people in charge of Syria. And again, it's all just their geopolitical games, these geocons. Jason Barker, good to see you, Jason, says Trump perfume, the smell of grift. Yeah, that's it exactly, isn't it? Absolutely true. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, folks.
Listening to the David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
If you like the Eagles,
on a dark desert highway,
the Cars,
let's go,
and Huey Lewis in the News,
they say the hotter rock and roll is still beating.
You'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
Well, the shutdown is allegedly and apparently over. And then it's time for the recriminations. As I pointed out yesterday, Trump attacking the air traffic controllers who didn't show up when they were not getting paid, and saying that the ones who did, he's going to give a $10,000 bonus to. And, of course, Laura Ingram asked him, where are you going to get that money? It doesn't matter. I'll get it somewhere, right? And so Buttigieg got on and had something to say about it as well. So, you know, what Trump had said was anyone who did not get back to work right away will be docked. And so he said, for all the air traffic controllers who were great patriots and didn't take any time off for the Democrat shutdown hoax, I will be recommending a bonus of $10,000 per person for distinguished service to our country. For those that did nothing but complain and took time off, even though everyone knew that they would be paid in full shortly in the future, well, evidently, that's not going to happen to some of them. I am not happy with you. This is only meant to hurt our country, and it was a Democrat attack, he said. It'll be a negative mark, at least in my mind, against your record. Well, Buttigieg said the president wouldn't last 5 minutes as an air traffic controller. And of course, that is true. I think that's a very stressful job. And one of the reasons I think they're having a difficult time finding people to take the position, because they keep doing this type of thing. There's no reason at all for the air traffic controllers to be under the thumb of the federal government and to be, they ought to be independent. But what we see happening here is that the federal government, once it gets control of anything, is very reluctant to give it up, even if it makes sense. But anyway, he said, the president wouldn't last 5 minutes as an air traffic controller, and after everything they've been through and the way this administration has been treating them from day one, he has no business crapping on them now. Well, Trump likes to do that, right? He pushed out a meme of him doing that on the country. Why is Trump going after America's air traffic controllers today of all days? Because, as usual, he is a sore winner. It's one way to distract from his decision about health insurance premiums, said Buttigieg. He said, other than mostly pronouncing my name right, everything he said is wrong, said Buttigieg. I'm the one who pronounces his name right. So anyway, Sean Duffy said, give me a break. You are basically AWOL at the DOT. Well, that's true. I spent my whole day dealing with your neglect and cleaning up your messes. You should set this one out. And then a retired air traffic controller who had 34 years of experience really destroyed Buttigieg. She said, every one of these people is eligible through the credit union for no interest short-term loans repayable upon back pay when the government reopens. Or they can borrow against their TSP and repay it to themselves when they receive back pay. Except, I guess, they're not going to get back pay now, right? According to Trump, some of them. Not one single air traffic controller can claim financial hardship because of these two well-established common practices that have been in place for every shutdown for decades. Well, that's fine. I hadn't seen that anywhere from anybody else. This is an air traffic controller saying you can take out a loan from the credit card union and pay it back when you get paid. Can the military do that? Because military bases in Germany, the U.S. government was telling them to go to German food banks to get food. You know, what do other people have that capability? And when you look at the air traffic controllers, they've set this up. Why? Because they have been hit with these shutdowns over and over again. Why don't we, so that we don't have to shut down flights across this country, why don't we take them out of this situation so they're not affected by shutdowns? Wouldn't that make more sense? She said, I know this because I worked for the FAA for 34 years. The only air traffic controllers who laid out during the shutdown were the ones intentionally making a political statement to make things difficult for the American flying public, she said. In another post, Scott told Buttigieg, I retired because of how you and the Biden administration, to use your words, crapped on every employee at the FAA and ruined a once fine agency. You allowed men into my office bathroom. I had to work with and for people that you hired and promoted because of the color of their skin or who they have sex with, who were wholly and completely unqualified for the job. You forced me to inject an experimental, dangerous drug into my body in order to keep my job and paycheck. You, sir, can sit down and shut up. Well, what about the father of the vaccine? You know, just like this woman who worked for the FAA. She has nothing to say about the guy who created the dangerous experimental drug that then Biden, in a tag team operation, forced on people. You know, and what about WorldNet Daily that reported this? They never, never blame Trump for any of this. You know, Trump creates the poison, and then he hands it off to Biden. So they both have, you know, an excuse, a plausible deniability. And yet, it's all simply for them. It's only about the mandate. It's fine if he poisons people, as long as he doesn't mandate it for you. Is that right? So SNAP and the growth of the American welfare state, this is from the Epic Times, and again, neither the air traffic controllers nor the welfare state will be fixed or improved. They stand as monuments to government failure and centralized control. And the welfare state has just exploded. And that's what I think is one of the interesting things to come out of this. These two areas that have been central to it, we see the failure of government. We see also in most of this stuff how absolutely irrelevant and unnecessary the federal government is to our lives, except for the people who become dependent on the government for food and the people who see that the entire air travel system has been hijacked by the federal government. SNAP has grown dramatically over the last 50 years. About 2% of Americans got the benefits in 1970. Today, 13% of Americans receive SNAP benefits. 42 million people. Seven times the percentage. This is their aspiration, of course, is not just 13% of the people. They want everybody universal basic income, which is universal basic welfare. There is a 650% increase in the number of Americans who are unable to provide adequate food for themselves. Participation spiked by 69% between 2008 and 2013, reaching a high of more than 45 million people monthly recipients, largely due to the nationwide recession. Then between 2007 and 2009, national unemployment averaged 9.3%. Nearly 15% of Americans lived in poverty. New Mexico is the highest participant at 21% of the population. In Utah, only 4.8%. The participation rate for many states mirrors their poverty rate. SNAP costs went up another 98%, again, doubled during the Trump lockdown of the so-called COVID-19 pandemic. A 300% increase in 20 years compared to the overall 50% increase in enrollment. So the cost of it is exploding. as well as the enrollment into this. So, again, now the Democrats, in the wake of what happened, the Democrats are, it's now their turn to do the bad optics and to self-incriminate themselves, just like Trump did. You know, Trump continued to say, instead of taking the high ground and saying, okay, we have this disagreement here, but we're going to make sure that we meet the obligations and the commitments that we've made to people. Again, I don't support the welfare state, but they've got people that are on it right now, and they need to find a way to transition off of it. It's like Social Security. I don't like Social Security program. But if you got people who have planned on that their entire life, you got to find a way to transition away from that rather than just cutting people off cold turkey. And that's what Trump has done. And that's now what the Democrats have done, because the Democrats are now, the day after this thing was agreed to, the Democrats are coming after the people who crossed over and voted to open up the government, making it clear to everybody that they were the ones who were keeping it closed. You know, just like Trump is going around with his ballroom capitalism while people don't have jobs and kids are not eating because of the SNAP program. Now the Democrats are saying, yeah, it was us all along. Both of these parties have thrown Americans under the bus for their vindictive politics. It's just like war, right? They don't care about you, and they don't care about your family. They will do whatever they want. Stephen Colbert comes out, and all these different they're not comedians anymore. They're commenters about political commentary. So Democrat defectors, he said, crumbled like a granola bar. Yeah, it was. He's admitting it was always their intransigence all the way, all along. And
hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Brent Newsom called it capitulation. And you've got people in the Democrat Party that saying that they want to ruthlessly punish those who voted to end the shutdown. Now, they were telling everybody it was 100% Trump the entire time. And, you know, they're both right. Again, it is both Trump and the Democrats who are doing this stuff and showing their contempt for Americans. So Stephen Colbert torched the 8 members of the Democrat caucus who crossed party lines to reopen the government. And then you got John Stewart saying, I can't effing believe it. The Democrat senators caved to Republicans. Again, these guys who are comedians who are trying to be the PR flax for the Democrat Party are all out coming out and saying the obvious. He said, you remember the Democrats? They shut down the government last month. Then they caved on the shutdown, not even a full week removed from the best election night results they've had in years. Yeah, it was all just for that. It was all just for show. 7 Democrat senators and an independent voted with their Republican counterparts to end the shutdown and reopen the government. And did they get their extended health care subsidies? No, he said. He said, I can't believe it. He then played a clip of Tim Kaine arguing, quote, offering a vote in the Senate without a commitment, that would pass without a commitment that the House would even take it up in an empty offer. He said, that guy gets it. Tim Kaine gets it. You don't see him as one of the 8 voting members. And then somebody said, well, actually he did. And he goes, I can't believe it. So that was the joke. You know, these guys say one thing, they do another. And then Bernie Sanders lashes out at the Democrat leadership, saying that they are out of touch, as he goes on with Rachel Maddow. Again, pushing to be ruthlessly pragmatic and to kick Schumer out of his leadership position, and they are owning it now, which, again, they're showing that they were lying about this the entire time. A Republican poll shows that California Governor Newsom is leading J.D. Vance among young men from the 2028 presidential election. The poll also suggests that Newsom has been positioning himself as a potential contender for the 2028 nomination. Is that news? No, it's not news. The problem is that Trump's bluster and bullying might very well get us President Newsom or somebody equally as awful like that. He holds an early edge over J.D. Vance among young male voters for the 2028 election. 38% of them would vote for Newsom compared to 33% for Vance. So there you go. Maybe with these two people, your choice would be a communist totalitarian for Newsom or a technocrat totalitarian for J.D. Vance. That's the big choice that's there. And then Trump goes on and says, oh boy, well, call it Trump care. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, isn't that great? These people who control the ballot make sure that you don't really have a choice. You know, whether you're talking about a Marxist or a neo-Marxist, a communist or a technocrat, they both want to basically take us to the same place. They just have different ways of doing it. And they have different groups of people who are going to profit from all of this. So Trump is out there saying that he wants to call it Trump care, because it'll be so much better if it's got his name on it and if the government then manipulates your health care plan. You know, and I said this many times when I remember when Trump ran in 2016. I remember even where I was when I read the plan from Trump, and I was absolutely surprised, the plan that was put together by the Trump people, and said, well, I hope he's serious about this. I hope it isn't just done with some consultants that he got on staff from the Heritage Foundation or something, because it had all these important aspects of it. It had transparency. It had competition between insurance plans. It had information so that you could compare doctors, hospitals, other healthcare providers with each other, and you could see their record, which is always hidden from us. And then it had competition across straight state lines. It had provisions in there to make sure that we had liquidity, that we had the money to actually make the purchase in terms of, you know, credits against income tax. Again, if healthcare is so important that the federal government needs to subsidize it and provide, can't they give us a tax cut so that we can pay for our healthcare before we send them our money for taxes? Wouldn't that make sense? And so I went through this, and I remember it was like about 10 or 12 steps of things that they wanted to do, and they were all excellent. And I remember setting that. That's when, that was before Alex built any of the studios, and so it was in his original studio that kind of looked like, you know, two people sitting at a desk with a curtain in the back like Joe Rogan does. And I remember going through that whole thing, and then right after the election, it disappeared. That page was memory hold off of the Trump campaign, never to be seen again. None of those things were ever brought up by Trump in his first term, and they're not being brought up now. That's not a part of the plan. Laura Ingraham said on Obamacare, you raised several times during the shutdown debate, it's clear that this was never going to work without massive subsidies. Well, it's been about a decade now since we saw the Trump plan, which was then memory hold, about a decade since he ran on building the wall and getting rid of Obamacare. So where are we right now? Basically, what you're going to wind up with is settling for relabeling. Just like he relabeled NAFTA, the USMCA, he's going to relabel Obamacare, Trump Care. And it'll be minor, minor tweaks, rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. He said, she said, now they want to continue the COVID subsidies. So given the fact that Obamacare really can't survive, as they thought, without these subsidies, what is next? Trump said, well, I said it's going to be a disaster, and I was exactly right. The premiums have gone up like rocket ships. And I'm not just talking about recently. I'm talking about for years they've been going up, all the way through his first administration. They didn't do anything about it. He said, I want, instead of going to the insurance companies, I want the money to go into an account for people where they buy their own health insurance. The insurance will be better. It'll cost less. Everybody's going to be happy. And they're going to feel like entrepreneurs. They're actually going to be able to go out and negotiate their own insurance, and they can do it only for that reason. That's the beauty, only for that purpose. So, again, the question is, will this plan that we haven't seen, will it have transparency? Will it have competition? Will it have liquidity? All he's talking about here is a liquidity aspect of it. When you look at the blame going back and forth, it's now showing up in the blame game over what is happening to our power grid. And the Democrats are blaming the AI power centers that are coming in. The GOP is blaming the climate cult. And, you know, they're both right. Both of these things are problems. And they're problems from both of the parties. Democrats are pointing the finger at the explosion of data center buildouts and power-hungry server racks, while conservative politicians blame disastrous green energy policies, specifically the early retirement of fossil fuel power generation plants and the rapid rollout of unreliable solar and wind generation. Well, they're both right. And, you know, neither one of them are going to fix either of these problems. On his first day in office, Trump was pushing this Stargate thing and saying, yeah, all these companies are going to build their own power plants, and they're going to do it for next to their data center, next to their manufacturing place, because the grid is old, it's unreliable, and they're not planning on doing anything to sustain the infrastructure for us. They're going to have their own infrastructure, and they will do it without us or any concern about our need, just like the interstate and all the rest of us. Well, we're going to take a quick break.
Real quickly, before we do, we have a comment and a tip here. I want to say thank you to Anigos Sonita. I really appreciate it. That's very generous. It says, I wanted to make a donation using Zelle, but I'm unable to locate you with the Proton email provided. It might be a Chase thing. So sending it here, thanks for all you do. Well, thank you, Anigos
Sonita. Thank you very much.
We appreciate it.
I need to check and make sure that we don't have an issue. I haven't looked for a few days to see if we're getting other Zelle contributions. It could be on your bank's side. It could be on our side. Hopefully it's not on our side.
Thank
you so much.
Another fun side effect of all these interconnected digital systems.
Yeah,
that's one small thing can, a line of code can change one place, and all of a sudden things stop working.
Well, we're going to talk about the financial side of these things when we come back, and we're talking about the stablecoin and all the rest of this stuff. But we're going to take a quick break, folks, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Whether you're feeling like the blues or bluegrass, APS Radio has you covered. Check out a wide variety of channels on our app at APSradio.com.
Welcome back, and a comment from Audi, Modern Retro Radio. He says, Mom, Danny is a puppet too, in bed with the Soros family. Absolutely right. You know, I remember when they were complaining. They said, he's getting money, and I think it was Qatar that he was getting money from. And but then you look at it, and you know Trump is involved with some of the same people. And when you look at Soros, you got Scott Bessent, who's there. He is Soros's soy boy. Both parties do this kind of stuff. Both parties are bought and sold by special interests. And as I said many times, that are wear the labels on their suits like a NASCAR driver. So let's get into Tony's not going to be with us today. But let's talk a little bit about what's happening with gold and silver and with money in general. Well, we've had bullish charts, writes Kitco, propelling gold and silver prices strongly higher. I think yesterday silver was up in the high 50s. Gold was hanging around for quite a while at the $4,000 level, and then it went up to $4,100. And I think yesterday when I looked, it was in the $4,200 range. Looking at just a couple of days ago, why gold prices are holding above 4,100 as U.S. fiscal uncertainty and Fed rate cuts bets fuel safe haven demand. Again, all the fundamentals and all the things that drove up gold and silver over the last year are all still there, or even worse. Meanwhile, J.P. Morgan has launched a dollar deposit token on Coinbase's Base network. Remember, Jamie Dimon at J.P. Morgan was always against Bitcoin until they were for it, you know, and they came up with their own approach to this. J.P. Morgan, the world's biggest bank.
It's also worth noting that Coinbase is not pro-freedom. There are places and people that if you donate to, if you send money, they will delete your account. They will remove you.
Really?
This is something they have been known to do.
Wow.
I won't go off on a huge jag about it, but there's a guy. He runs a site called Kiwi Farms. It's largely a internet drama site. They catalog things that lolcows do, but occasionally they catalog bad things that some pretty powerful people have done, people with connections to Google. And ever since then, if you donate directly to them on Coinbase, they will nuke your account. They'll delete it. So wow. Coinbase is not a pro-freedom establishment. They are not pro-free speech. They might seem a little bit more so compared to these other big banking cartels, but they will come after you. They have a certain list of people that they don't like.
And where do they get that list? I'm sure they get it from the government, just like the social media companies get these lists from the government. And the government says, well, it's not us that's doing it. You know, they're doing it on their own. We've seen this alibi, this plausible deniability, since the middle of the 20th century. You had AT&T working with the CIA and NSA, and they would spy on people, and that was actually taken to the Supreme Court, and they said, well, if you're doing business with AT&T, of course everybody had to because they had a monopoly status, if you're doing business with them, you have voluntarily given them your data. Your data now belongs to them, and they can voluntarily turn it over to the government if they wish. There's nothing to stop them from doing that. And, of course, why would AT&T want to voluntarily turn over your data? Well, because they've been given a monopoly by the government. That's why. And so J.P. Morgan is launching this dollar deposit token on Coinbase. They are the world's largest bank by market capitalization. And what they're doing is they're tokenizing your deposits held at the bank, and they're putting out this thing called JPM Coin. I just got to say, who wants this? I don't think anybody wants this. The token represents U.S. dollar deposits in the bank and allows users to send and to receive money on the blockchain created by U.S. crypto exchange Coinbase. And so they said the coin will enable instant 24/7 payment processing as long as they like you, which is significantly faster than the typical times seen in the U.S. banking system. Much like the broader U.S. financial industry, J.P. Morgan appears to be doubling down on its commitment to tokenization as well as blockchain. And folks, blockchain makes everything that you do and your bank account, it makes it publicly available to people who can decode it. And it also gives them a way to steal your money. That's the thing you should think about with this. Bitcoin, interestingly enough, has fallen to 101,000 as stocks and gold rallied ahead of the vote to end the government shutdown. You know, Bitcoin has not tracked counter to the economy. In other words, it's not a hedge against bad things happening. It does well when things are good. It does poorly when things are bad or when the expectations are bad. And this is just another example of this. Bitcoin fell to weekly lows at 101,000 as U.S. equities and gold rallied ahead of the key vote to end the U.S. government shutdown, signaling a shift in investor sentiment to traditional assets. Yeah, just wait when they start doing this stuff like JPM Coin and other things like that. Michael Burry, meanwhile, as we talked about, the guy, the Big Short, is shorting AI because he thinks that the hyperscalers are fudging the numbers. And, of course, we've talked about this for the longest time. I wish I knew what the date was that I first said it was a bubble. I mean, it was a long time ago. And I said at that time that it reminded me of the dot-com bubble. You got this story about how all of life is going to be revolutionized, and then it doesn't show up. And yet people continue to pour money into this thing, and they get ahead of themselves. They realize that they're not making money yet, and then some of the people start panicking, and because it was all done with a kind of herd mentality, a few people panicking starts a stampede, and that's what happened to the dot-com bust. Michael Burry accused major AI hyperscalers, he said, of using accounting tricks and selective disclosures to artificially inflate their earnings, creating a mirage of profitability that is luring naive investors into another bubble. Well, what does he mean by these fraudulent accounting tricks? Well, this is the kind of stuff that we've talked about it here. NVIDIA doing kind of circular investing, making loans to their customers so their customers can buy their products and they can rack up sales and show that on Wall Street and people think it's something real. According to CNBC, Burry singled out tech giants with massive data center operations, the same companies giving the AI revolution and commanding trillion-dollar valuations. He argued that many of them are capitalizing enormous infrastructure and research and development costs while recognizing speculative AI-related revenues up front. Burry claims this is a distortion of earnings reality, not unlike what led to the dot-com collapse two decades ago. He said investors are mistaking electricity consumption for innovation, suggesting that the massive spending on AI chips and on cloud infrastructure is being spun as growth when it is actually an expense and a heavy arms race. So he said, so they're incurring all these expenses in order to build up an infrastructure to compete with each other. But this is not about revenue, and it's not because anybody is making any money from this stuff yet. That insight hits especially hard as markets cheer every AI headline while ignoring the growing capital intensity and diminishing returns of the sector. Firms like NVIDIA, Microsoft.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And Amazon are portrayed as beneficiaries of an unstoppable trend towards AI ubiquity. It's going to be everywhere. But Burry's critique hints that the AI productivity boom, quote unquote, may not exist, at least not yet. Instead, much of the reported, quote, earnings growth, quote unquote, could be a byproduct of accounting optimism and investor psychology and not of genuine profitability. This echoes the behavior that Burry famously called out before the 2008 crash when complex mortgage-backed securities, I remember that quote, you put it up again yesterday, Lance, you know, when we had the clip from Lucky, let's see, we had Lucky Lutnick, and is that still in here?
No, I removed that from the deck. I might still have it in.
When he was talking about it, so you got this great thing. He goes, you got the federal government's going to give, you know, tens of billions of dollars to these drug companies. And I'm like, where can I get some of those warrants and everything? And there's a similar thing like that in the movie The Big Short.
I have it.
Yeah, you got it? Go ahead and play it. Yeah. Yeah, this is amazing.
United States government, the most powerful, the greatest customer, buys stuff. We walk in. We're going to buy, this is the example I like to use. We're going to buy 2 billion COVID vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
When we buy it, Pfizer and Moderna stocks are going to triple. They're going to triple. So then we say everyone's going to have this vaccine.
Everybody's going to have it, right? Yeah.
If I were, after Jared Kushner negotiated the best deal he could, if Howard Lutnick walked in the room, Howard Lutnick would say, what do you think, 20% warrants?
Right.
20% warrants?
Right.
Right? What? So we'd make $50 billion. Off of who? Nobody. Right. We didn't take from anybody. We didn't do it. Okay.
You killed them.
Pfizer. Who we
you killed them.
Tripled them with our order.
Right.
Now.
Took their lives.
Many of my customers.
Took their lives. You put them in debt as taxpayers. And, you know, yesterday, Lance repeated that statement. You had somebody talking like that about the real estate stuff. And one of the guys who knew what was going on said, why is he confessing? And the other guy said, he's not confessing. He's bragging about what he's doing. And that's really what these guys continue to do.
Because they know they aren't going to face any consequences for it. This guy will face no consequences the same as the guys
that's right.
that did the 2008 thing. I mean, look at BlackRock funded with bailout money.
Yeah, it made BlackRock, it made Larry Fink, and this crook, Lucky Lutnick, is going to be the one who's going to make money off of this, and he's going to come out of this financial dollar collapse with his stable coins, his Tether and stuff like that. He's going to come out unbelievably wealthy. He just can't wait. It's a done deal. It's a sure thing, right?
It's truly amazing that seems the only way to actually achieve significant upward mobility is to completely and utterly sell out your morals and the American people.
Yep.
That seems to be the one surefire way to achieve it. If you want to be wealthy, if you want to make sure that your future is set, the way to do that is to say, you know what? I don't care. I don't care about anyone or anything but myself. I will sell out everything I believe in. I will screw over anyone and anything. Just tell me what you want done and I'll do it.
That's right.
I mean, what other business gives 1,000-to-1 returns? If you want to make the absurd, insulting amounts that they're making, it's got to be through government.
Yeah, that's right. It's the politics. And politics has corrupted everything. And it has corrupted journalism as well, because the people who will lie to you, who will sell you out to these same criminals, are the ones who are going to be successful at all this stuff. That's where we are in America. It's become such an unjust, corrupt society. It's an unjust empire with wars everywhere. And the corruption is just pervasive in every field now. And the corruption is coming. The rot is coming from the top down. And we put government in charge of everything. And that's where the corruption is coming from the top down. So anyway, he made a fortune while the rest of Wall Street imploded. And now he's basically betting that fortune again, folks. He put in over a $1 billion bet to short the market. That's about 80% of what he's got. So he's betting the farm on this. AI hyperscalers have been the primary engine behind the market's explosive gains since 2023, accounting for much of the S&P 500's valuation growth. Any revelation that their earnings were exaggerated could send markets into a panic, triggering margin calls, mass deleveraging, and a brutal reevaluation of tech. He's not just predicting it. He is shorting it. He's actually put his money down on this. That's how confident he is of that. And I just got to say, you got to get real. You need to get gold. You need to go to davidknight.gold, which will take you to Tony Artaban's Wise Wolf Gold. You can start to accumulate gradually. You can put your IRA into a metals account of gold and or silver. And there's a lot of things that Tony can help you with. He can get you out of crypto into gold, or vice versa if you want to go in a different direction. But it's very important that you get out of this system. These people are setting a trap. It's not just pump and dump, but it is a trap of surveillance and control. And so I look at it as gold being a hedge, not only of this Potemkin economy that we have, but also as a hedge against control and surveillance. They're doing everything they can to take away the private financial transactions. So be aware of it and do the best that you can to try to get out of it. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
Real quickly before we do, I have a comment here from Jason Barker. He says, "How is Karen holding up? The Barkers have been praying for her and the whole family."
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, we got the message about that. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate that. And I apologize that we've not gotten back to you. But yeah, it's been difficult, and just a lot of things to do that we don't really know, haven't done before in terms of trying to settle his estate and things like that. So that's an extra burden. As everybody knows, when a close family member dies, that's yet another thing that comes along. So, yeah, we would appreciate your prayers. And by the way, while we're talking about prayers, we have a very close friend of ours who is in Raleigh, and he's undergoing a triple bypass today. His name is Jeff, and we really would appreciate your prayers for him as well. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Globalist next move.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Tell Alexa to add the APS radio skill and have access to the best channels anywhere. From country to blues, classic hits to news, APS radio curates incredibly diverse playlists for you to enjoy. Get details at APSradio.com.
Well, there was a lot of fallout from Trump's interview with Laura Ingraham. She pushed back, and good for her for pushing back. And we got a lot of pushback now from Marjorie Taylor Greene as well, based on the things that he had to say. One of the things that he said that we didn't talk about yesterday, she asked he thought that any of his kids could become president. He thought, of course, all of them could, because, again, we have a hereditary rule of monarchs, right? He even named one of them Baron. But, you know, he's thinking that they are all above average. And, you know, of course, when you combine the fact that each and every one of his kids are just excellent. You combine that with the fact that he said we got to bring in people with H-1B visas because Americans are so stupid you can't even train them. So when asked about that, he went through the whole list. He said Barron, Don Jr., Eric, Ivanka, Tiffany, they could all take turns winning the presidency. Yeah. He said, I had a father who was very good at building. He was very good at building things, and so am I. I'd build better than anybody else. Nobody can build like me. What was the name of that movie that was these misfit superheroes, and one of them was a shoveler?
The Mystery Team.
I tell you, this guy is the shoveler.
Mystery Men.
Yeah. This guy is the shoveler. You know, you're out there, you know, what's your special? Well, I shovel, you know, and I shovel better than anybody else. This guy does definitely shovel it.
I shovel very well.
That's right. And he builds very well, except just like the Mystery Men, he doesn't actually do anything. Do you think that Trump has ever touched a hammer or anything else like that at a construction site? I don't think so. I don't think he or his dad did. I mean, they are financial guys.
And of course, he's talking about how he built those casinos that he bankrupted.
That's right. He said, my dad, he says, you're talking about a floor, for example. He says, if it's going to be even, you know, a regular floor, it would be exactly even, exactly straight when my dad would do it. It would fit perfectly. But when you look at that, look at the job, nobody has ever seen it. Anything like it, I guess, right? Straight floors. Nobody else has straight floors except for the Trump family. And, of course, his dad didn't lay the floors that were there. Laura Ingraham said, do you and your kids have that same delicate attention to detail that you have? Because that's kind of, you know, you really can't teach that. Trump said, well, I think Eric is very good. Don, in a very different way, is good. Ivanka is. Tiffany's very smart. He said, I think Barron is going to be tremendous at it. Very meticulous. Laura Ingraham said, a lot of people think A lot of people think he could be the next Trump president. Trump said, I don't know. I think Laura or Eric, of course, said Laura. A lot of people are wondering who and which child would be the best. Trump said, well, in a certain way, they all could. Again, because he's so great at construction and because all of his kids pay attention to detail. They are, again, presidential material. But, you know, you Americans are worthless eaters. You can't even be trained to make batteries. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene took a swipe at Trump, tells American workers, I believe you are talented. She took a swipe at him on Wednesday, throwing back his own words back to him from the Laura Ingraham interview. The night before, Ingraham had pushed the president on the need to bring in highly skilled foreign workers, the H-1B thing. She said, if you want to raise wages for American workers, you can't flood the country with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of foreign workers with this H-1B program.
I can play the clip of the interview of Trump.
Yeah, go ahead and play that. Yeah.
There's never going to be a country like what we have right now.
And does that
the
mean,
Republicans have to talk about it, Laura.
And does that mean the H-1B visa thing will not be a big priority for your administration? Because if you want to raise wages for American workers, you can't flood the country with tens of thousands or hundreds
well,
of thousands
agree,
of foreign
but
workers.
You also do have to bring in talent.
When well, we have plenty of talented people
no, you
here.
Don't. No, you don't.
We don't have talented
being,
people
no,
here.
No, you don't have certain talents, and you have to. People have to learn. You can't take people off an unemployment like an unemployment line and say, "I'm going to put you into a factory where we're going to make missiles," or "I'm going to put."
How did
you
we ever do it before?
Well, let
when
me just.
You and I were
I'll give you an
up.
Example in Georgia. They raided because they wanted illegal immigrants out. They had people from South Korea. That
Hyundai.
Made batteries all their lives. You know, making batteries are very complicated.
They make batteries all their lives.
There's a lot of explosions.
Lithium batteries or something. I mean, this guy is just blowing smoke at everybody. He has contempt for you, just like Musk, just like Ramaswamy, as I said. So, again, Laura Ingraham said, you know, well, how did we do it before? And many people posted that along with the comments. You know, we took housewives and we use them to make planes and bombs during World War II. But no, you can't train Americans. We're just too stupid. We don't have any talent. All the brains and talent are in the Trump family, right? And so Marjorie Taylor Greene said, I believe in the American people. I am one of you. I believe you're good, talented, creative, intelligent, hardworking, and you want to achieve. And I'm solidly against you being replaced by foreign labor, like with H-1Bs. I am solidly against allowing foreign students into our colleges and universities, like 600,000 Chinese students, just to financially prop them up. If these colleges fail, they fail. And let's pray that they do. I'm against foreign aid, foreign wars, and sending a single dollar to foreign countries. I'm against bringing any foreign leader that is a terrorist overseas.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spend it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Killing innocent people into our country, into the Oval Office. They do not deserve our support. I am elected to represent my district and the American people. No other country. I only serve Americans. And you know, this is, I saw this and I thought, you know, I've seen one article after the other on WND, it used to be WorldNet Daily, about H-1B. They tackled that more so than anybody else and earlier than anybody else. And they just would run one headline after the other at the top of the website. And I thought, you know, they're such Trump sycophants. I wonder what they had to say about what Trump said in the interview and what Marjorie Taylor Greene said. I went to their website, crickets, not a word about what Trump said or in the Laura Ingraham interview, and not a word about what Marjorie Taylor Greene said. Again, they will not criticize. It's just like the jab, just like the vaccine. These people who know where their bread is buttered will not criticize Trump. It's a cult, and I'm sick of it. We just had a relative who called us with all this stuff, and one of the things he says to Karen, he says, well, I know you're Republican, and you didn't believe about all this COVID stuff or anything. It's like, yeah, I just wanted to say I heard this. I didn't jump in on it. It was on a speakerphone. And I just wanted to jump in and say, no, you don't know anything about me. I don't believe something because I'm a part of a cult. That's you. You're the Democrat cultist. You believe it because your tribe tells you that. I do the best that I can. I try to get people to think for themselves, to think critically about what they're being told, and to not become an apologist for Trump or the Republicans or the Democrats or Schumer or any of these other people. Stop it. You know, that is what is destroying this country, is that kind of mentality. And anyway, she said she's elected to represent her district, not another country. And, you know, when you look at this, like I said, the corruption that we see everywhere is this same type of stuff. You see it with WND. You see it with Breitbart. They will talk about issues like they don't like H-1B, except when Trump does like H-1B, they go silent. They'll talk about it for months about how evil it is, and then when Trump supports it, they shut up. Steve Bannon took the side of Trump against Americans, saying, yeah, you don't have any talent, basically. This is a report from Raw Story. MAGA influencer, I would say MAGA betrayer, Steve Bannon sought to calm his followers after Trump defended the use of foreign workers by saying there were not enough talented Americans. Yeah, he will always, Bannon is one of these people just like WND, just like Breitbart, just like Alex Jones and InfoWars. They will always defend Trump over and above Americans. They will tell you to stick a poison jab in your arm because that's what Trump said. They'll tell you to trust the plan. And so that's basically what he's saying. You know, put Trump comes first. And you stupid Americans, you stupid MAGA people, just do what he says. He comes out with this. This is even worse. Bannon doubles down with this. He says, he is an imperfect instrument, but he is an instrument infused by divine providence. Stop that. People need to stop listening to this betrayer. This guy is a convicted liar. He has no convictions, folks, except for his criminal convictions. And when he starts wrapping Trump and the Lord Jesus Christ, he's taking the Lord's name in vain. It disgusts me to see what Bannon does with his icons behind him and all the rest of his stuff. He's wearing his Christianity on his sleeve, but he's not doing anything real about it. He's trying to sanctify the political crimes and political evils that are being put out by this side of the two-party cult, and disgust me.
And so another thing to point out is just, if Trump were this godly man, this true agent of Christ. He would look at Steve Bannon and say, stop that. Don't say these things.
That's right.
You don't compare. You don't put me up in this category. You don't talk about me like this.
That's right.
Anybody that has a relationship with Christ would be, you know, ashamed to have someone saying this about them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's infused by divine providence, right? Well, I think that God puts people in and takes them out. And sometimes they're put in as an instrument of judgment. That's really what I think. That's what I dislike most about Bannon. And that is his playing it religious, you know, his phony religiosity, and taking the Lord's name in vain to sanctify his evil politics. He says, we're here to calm you down and say, let's keep this 12 o'clock high. We're on a bombing run. Stay focused. Don't be getting off, you know. Don't be getting off the main event here. Yeah, that's his version of Alex Jones's trust the plan during the lockdown, during the poisoning, the great poisoning. It's what we ought to call it. Yeah, the bombing run is more like it. He's dropping feces on all of us. That's what Trump likes to do. And so MGG said that Trump has abandoned America First. And that's exactly right. She said he's more concerned with foreign matters than he is with domestic policy. Marjorie Taylor Greene said, I would really like to see nonstop meetings in the White House on domestic policy, not on foreign policy, and not on foreign country leaders. Start by hauling in the healthcare insurance company executives, and let's start reformulating our Republican plan to save America from Obamacare and from the ACA tax credits that have skyrocketed the cost of health insurance. The context of her statement was Trump meeting with this terrorist, Al Sharaa, in the Oval Office. And again, everything that Trump does is focused on geopolitics. He doesn't care a whit about America. He really doesn't. And as I said before, even...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
And when he did the first tax cut program in 2017, I said, they're not going to reshore manufacturing until they can do it without American workers. They'll either do it with foreign workers or they'll use automation. And I still believe that. It's not going to happen. You're not going to get your job back. They're going to give your job to a robot, or they're not going to build the factories there. Green has been one of the few Republicans to call out the president's inaccurate claims that the cost of living is going down. Trump said early as late last week that, quote, every price is down, unquote. Well, except for gas prices, this is not true. Americans who do their own grocery shopping and pay their own heating and cooling bills know this. The data shows this as well. Green echoed the complaints of common Americans when she said, I go to the grocery store myself. Like I said the other day, do you think Trump has ever gone to the grocery store? Do you think he's ever hammered a nail at one of these construction sites? What a joke. And she said, grocery prices remain high. Energy prices are high. My electricity bills are higher here in Washington, D.C. at my apartment. They're also higher at my home in Rome, Georgia, higher than they were a year ago. Affordability is a problem. And I'm a mom. My kids are 22, 26, 28. That's the generation, she said, I worry about the most. They are having a very hard time. Well, a reporter told Trump what Green had said. She said she'd rather see you focus on nonstop domestic policy meetings at the White House instead of nonstop foreign policy meetings. And then she asked, what is your response to her saying that and also saying that grocery prices are up and not down, as you say? Trump responded and said, I don't know what happened to Marjorie. She's a nice woman, but I don't know what happened. She's lost her way, I think. I think the question is, Trump has lost his way. That's the reality. If he ever was on the way, I don't really ever think that he believed or planned on doing any of the things that he said. But if you believe that he was going to do that, you got to see that he clearly is going in a different direction now.
It's also interesting. It seems to be the go-to method of dodging the questions for the Trump administration to just attack whoever they're...
That's right. It's always ad hominem attacks. You saw that with Pam Bondi. You know, it's like she gets asked a question, and she looks down her chart to see what dirt she's got on that particular senator, and she goes after him instead of answering the question. And that's exactly what Trump does. She's learned very well from that. He said, I have to view the presidency as a worldwide situation, not locally. Wars come to our shores very easily if you have a bad president. Yeah, I noticed.
I didn't think we elected him president of the world. Was his campaign Make the World Great Again?
Yeah, that's what he wants to be.
He can't be focused locally. He's got to be focused on Israel and Ukraine.
That's right. Yeah, and so, yeah, he wants to bring wars to our shore. What about this Vinnie Nam that he's doing there? And coming after the cartels. You think that if he comes after the cartels, do you think they're going to fight them asymmetrically just in Mexico or Venezuela or someplace like that? No, they're going to come attack our infrastructure. There'll be some roadside bombs here. They'll be coming after some cops here like they do in their own country. They'll kill cops. They'll cut off their heads, hang them from a bridge or something somewhere. And then watch what our government does in reaction. They'll come after you and I. With an iron fist. They will see everybody as a terrorist. That's what this guy is going to bring to our shores. He says, I have to view the presidency as a worldwide situation, not locally. This is the national security state put in by Truman, who wanted to be the world's policeman. And that is a role that this Democrat, Donald Trump, really loves. He loves being the world's policeman. He loves policemen. So Trump further defended, I should say lied, about his foreign policy by saying that he put out 8 wars and we stopped sending American money to Ukraine. You know, all of that is a lie, isn't it? The American military aid to Ukraine didn't stop fully flowing until June of this year. But not only that, since September they've been talking about escalating it by sending Tomahawk cruise missiles to Ukraine. How can he say that he cut off the money to Ukraine? You know, he's escalated the situation there with more sanctions against Russia. He's talking about giving them Tomahawk cruise missiles. You can't operate as a neutral negotiator when you're arming and paying the other side to fight one side to fight the other. And that's exactly what they're doing. Trump has never retreated from his debacle in Eastern Europe. He recently got more involved, says the New American, and they're right, in the matter by leveling sanctions on Russia. Since leveling the sanction relations, the Russians have only grown colder, while chances of peace remain elusive. This has prompted concern that the Eurocrats will eventually manage to draw the U.S. into a hot war against Russia, which many suspect is the goal of the globalists. And now the Trump White House appears to be planning military intervention in Venezuela. Vinnie Nam, despite what it says out loud. Again, he has not stopped any wars, folks. He failed in Gaza. I mean, there's still, you know, bombing runs and all the rest of this stuff. He bombed Iran, and he's killing people, ready to do a Venezuelan regime change. And he has escalated the Russian war, escalated the sanctions, and made escalating threats against them. The U.S. military has reactivated a Cold War-era naval base in Puerto Rico and deployed thousands of troops there. This had been closed since 2004, but it became operational again in September when F-35B stealth fighters, Marine Corps helicopters, and heavy transport aircraft began using the facility's 11,000-foot runway. Military.com reported this last week. They said the base sits approximately 500 miles from Venezuela's coast. Green now joins a small group of Republicans who publicly disagree with the Trump administration's foreign policy, joining the ranks of Thomas Massie and Rand Paul, who have taken a lot of ire from Trump for their principled stances, as he has no principles, no convictions, except for the ones in court. The concern over the administration's foreign meddling and foreign influence is one of the main issues tearing the MAGA coalition apart. There is an intense effort by the establishment wing of the party, led by Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro, as well as legislators like Ted Cruz and Randy Fine, to discredit Carlson. The supposed reason is because he interviewed Nick Fuentes. However, the real reason, says the New American, and I agree with him, for this against Carlson, is his longstanding criticism of the administration's interventionist policies, interventionist foreign policy, necessary to the buildup of a world government. And again, all of this is being done on behalf of a foreign government, Israel.
I would say that the real reason they're coming after Carlson is so that people that are waking up will go to him instead of actually going to a real
critic. Yeah, that's right. I agree. Yeah, it's to build up his creds. That's a big part of that as well. Well, they point out at the New American, George Washington said that our mission should be to cultivate peace and harmony with all. This is why Trump is anti-Washington. He's not anti-Fed. He's anti-George, that Washington. He is the antithesis of George Washington. He wants to not cultivate peace and harmony with everybody. He wants to even go to war with Canada, verbally as well as anything else. John Quincy Adams, of course, said Americans should never go abroad in search of monsters to destroy. The rest of that quote is, America well knows that by once enlisting under other banners than her own, she would involve herself beyond the power of extrication in all the wars of interest and intrigue, of individual avarice, envy, ambition, which assume the colors and usurp the standard of freedom. The New American says the good news is that neocon foreign policy is finally being criticized as it should. It has led to the deaths of thousands of Americans and the loss of unknown amounts of money. Yeah, we don't even know where it went. As Rumsfeld said before 9/11, he said there's known knowns and there's known unknowns and there's unknown unknowns. And I guess that would include the trillions of dollars that were missing that were being investigated at the Pentagon right there where that missile came in. And they said it was a plane. So we're going to take a quick break here. But before we do, while we're kind of talking about the terrorists and 9/11, there's this clip we've got about Lucky Larry Silverstein. It's not just Lucky Lutnick that's out there. We also had Lucky Larry.
This man is named Larry Silverstein, and he is both the dumbest and the luckiest businessman in the world. He's the stupidest businessman in the world because 6 weeks before 9/11, he buys the lease to the World Trade Center. Okay? Why is that stupid? Because the World Trade Center has asbestos, like a dangerous chemical. So they had to clean or remove the asbestos. The problem is the cost of removing all that asbestos would have been more than the value of the Twin Towers. That's kind of stupid, okay? Why would you lease the Twin Towers knowing that you have to put all this money into renovation, which would bankrupt you? Also, what's stupid is to have the lease, you're required to have insurance, okay? And so the insurance company says, we value the World Trade Center at $1.5 billion, okay? And Larry Silverstein says, no, it's not $1.5 billion. They are worth $3.5 billion. So he is asking to pay more insurance than he needed to. That's kind of stupid. But again, he's the luckiest man in the world because none of it happened. And guess what? He can now claim that two towers were struck, and therefore he should get twice as much as $3.55 million. He should get $7 billion. And he sued. They went to court. And he got $4.55 billion. Okay. He's also lucky because he's a workaholic. He never misses work. But that day, because
just like Lucky Lutnick,
he had to miss work. He wasn't there when 9/11 happened.
Just like Lutnick,
he's a man in the world.
Yeah, you know, I'll never forget when I was in New York with Ja'Kari Jackson, and we sat down and took a break to eat a sandwich, and we happened to be at Larry Silverstein Square. And they had a tour that was going by there, and the tour guide is giving them all this BS about what's going on. And I told I told Ja'Kari, I said, here, hold my phone. And then I engaged these people, and they were all like, oh, never heard any of this stuff before. And then the guy just goes, yeah, you know, walks off. And, you know, it's just no matter how many times we tell people, they don't listen. And it's just like with the COVID stuff, talking to Republicans and talking to MAGA. Just got to get used to it. Right. My job is not to persuade people. My job is, and it isn't a failure if I can't persuade them. I have to tell them the truth. And if they don't want to believe it, and if they don't want to investigate it on their own, it's on them. It's not on me. And but it makes me angry whenever I see this kind of thing that's out there. We're going to take a quick break, folks, and we'll be right back.
Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, dear Klaus, your annual global risk report makes for a stunning and sobering read. For the global business community, the top concern for the next 2 years is not conflict or climate. It is disinformation and misinformation, followed closely by polarization within our society.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. You are listening to The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
And yes, folks, we do appreciate the support of APS Radio and Charlie. Thank you very much for covering, for putting the show on APS Radio, and we appreciate your support as well. And I just want to let everybody know, I had mentioned earlier that a very close friend of ours, Jeff, was having a triple bypass today. We just got word that things are fine with him. So thank you for praying. Appreciate that. And we thank the Lord.
They have been close friends of our family for almost our entire lives. So we are just so thankful for
those
prayers. And
that's right. Well,
so thankful that he is okay.
That's right. There's an interesting article here from J.D. Hall. His website is Insight to Incite. That is InsightToIncite. And he's talking about the evangelical third way. And, you know, this is, again, at the juncture of religion and politics. You need to understand that politics is always, whether it's conscious or unconscious, politics is always going to be downstream from your religion, from your worldview. And he says, this third way, the phrase the third way, has reappeared everywhere. He said on evangelical podcasts and denominational statements and think pieces that pretend to diagnose polarization while quietly prescribing surrender. It sounds sophisticated, harmless, even hopeful. It evokes the image of a different way other than the two political ways, but it is a focus again on politics first rather than downstream. You know, Jesus is the way. He's not a second way. He's not a third way. And it transcends the left and right. If you want to transcend the left and right, you do it with the risen Lord. Said that the average churchgoer, third way language feels like relief from endless culture wars. Pastors who adopt it promise a Christianity that is free from political baggage and societal controversy. They tell their people, we're not about ideology, we're about Jesus. It sounds noble until you realize that every time the church takes this kind of middle road, it somehow ends up in the ditch. The words change, but the direction never does. It always goes into the ditch. He said the irony is that the third way began not as a theological term, but as a political one. It was once a slogan of progressives who wanted to make socialism look palatable to the middle class. Now it is the refuge of evangelicals who want to make progressivism sound spiritual. Every time it's espoused for what it is, or exposed, I should say, for what it is, it changes its tone. It rewrites its vocabulary, and it rebrands itself. This is another hallmark of the leftist tactics. In the early 2000s, you had leaders like Tim Keller and Russell Moore declared that Christians needed to stop defending their moral convictions in the public square, and they needed to start engaging the city with empathy and cultural fluency. The idea was to win credibility with elites who would never listen to a culture warrior. The church was told to stop preaching against sin, to start learning from sociologists. It was a way to make the gospel fashionable and acceptable. Well, the reality is that it will never be accepted by the elites. And this is kind of another manifestation of seeker-friendly churches and things like that, to go after what people feel that they need at a particular point. And the focus is redirected away from Christ, as always. Christ transcends the politics. It transcends government. It transcends our government. It transcends Israel's government. The moral issues remain, and we will never be able to make it to heaven on our own morality. It will be grace that saves us, and grace alone. And the longer the third way stayed in the pulpit, the further it moved left. They spoke the language of justice without mentioning righteousness, the language of inclusion without repentance, of compassion without holiness. By 2015, the third way had become a safe theological shelter for progressives who no longer wanted to defend biblical orthodoxy, but weren't ready to get out of the church altogether. They found they could hang around within evangelical institutions as long as they wrapped their politics in the language of dialogue and nuance. Then came the backlash, as people began to realize how this posture always tilted to the left. The social movements it had flirted with, the LGBTQ affirmation, critical race theory, the new sexual revolution, all proved to be ideological predators and not partners. Evangelicals discovered that nuance was a one-way street, and dialogue always meant surrender. The public grew tired of pastors who mistook ambiguity for wisdom. Now the third way has returned as a survival mechanism. It has retreated back into subtlety, and it now presents itself as a cure for polarization, the solution to outrage, the refuge of reasonable believers who don't want to be called fundamentalists. But make no mistake, the message has not changed. It's the same old pattern, which is evangelical elites protecting their status by flattering the secular left while blaming the faithful for being too political. It speaks as if it's wary of culture wars, but in truth, it's terrified of losing cultural approval. And that's the key thing. We should never be seeking that. Now, on the right, what we see...
I would say broad is the third way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But
that's right.
Narrow is the way
that's
that
right.
leads to life.
On the right, there's an article. I'll just mention it to you. Brian Shalhavi has it on Health Impact News. And he's referencing a series of documentaries by a guy who calls himself Ben Born Again, as in B-E-N. And it's a documentary they put together on Kabbalah. He calls it The Religion of the Serpent. So you can look that up on YouTube. And there's a whole series of these that he's got on his channel. This particular one that Brian Shalhavi was referencing is President Trump's tie to Kabbalah and to the Noahide laws. Now, if you don't know what the Noahide laws are, I'll just summarize it by saying it's kind of a dumbed-down version of the Ten Commandments. Not that you could keep the Noahide laws either. Nobody can. That's the reality. And so on the right, what we have, rather than the politics of socialism, we have the politics of Zionism. And it's a perfect match that they would hang on to something like the Noahide laws. Good. It's always good to have aspirational morality, but understand that you will never be justified before God by following anything perfectly. It's like the rich young ruler who he says, you know, what do I have to do? And he says, good master, good rabbi, whatever. And he says, Jesus said to him, said, nobody's good except for God, right? In other words, as Isaiah said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so he says, well, it's simple. You keep the commandments, the Ten Commandments. And he says, oh, I've done all that since my childhood. And he goes, okay, good. Well, there's one thing that you lack. He says, sell everything that you've got. Because he knew the guy loved his money, and he was covetous of his own money, by the way. And so he said, so sell everything that you've got and give it to the poor and follow me. And the guy left sad, because no matter how close you come, how many good things you do and how little evil there is in your life, it's still not going to be perfect. God is perfect. God is the one who is good, and he demands that. And so Christ came as both the one who is just and the one who justifies. And that is the reality. And this is something that many on the right have tied themselves into, this whole idea. And Noahide laws are just one aspect of it. He said, he's still going through the list of things, but the one they had there about Trump's ties to Kabbalah and the Noahide laws, he said, including footage of him going to Menachem Mendel Schneerson's gravesite in 2024. Very important to understand where he is.
And it's just for those that aren't aware, there's a group of a sect within Judaism that believes Schneerson was the literal Messiah.
Yeah, the Chabad Lubavitch. And you saw Trump when he went there before the election. He writes something on a piece of paper, folds it, and drops it down into the gravesite of Schneerson, which is very telling, I think. And so, again, you can come up with your own set of rules, and you still won't be able to keep them. And that's really the bottom line with the Noahide laws, and why we all do need the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, when we look at what is happening in our society, we live at a time where I think we have less of an excuse not to believe in God than at any other time. I had somebody who sent me an email the other day, said, I like your show, except for the fact that you follow this this Jew as if he were God. And it's like, well, then you don't like the show, because that is the foundation of everything that I do. This is from the Washington Post talking about an AI-designed viruses raise fears over creating life. I just got to say that artificial intelligence, even though it may pretend to be empathetic, sympathetic, it isn't. It doesn't think, it has no feelings, and it doesn't really care about you. It's not sympathetic, and it can't feel your heart, your hurt, which is what empathy purports to do. It also is not alive, and it's not going to create life if it creates some kind of artificial DNA construct. And yet the reality is that when you look at DNA, it is a code, a very, very complicated code. Think about how long they spent trying to analyze certain DNA strands for different organisms, like the mouse or the fruit fly or whatever. Francis Collins and many of the others with the Human Genome Project, they were trying to work out what the code of DNA was. It's error-correcting code. It's very complicated.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And These people had teams of scientists who worked for years and years, massive number of computers. Now, that is to decode something that obviously has intelligence and purpose in it. And it means that it was created by something that was intelligent. It could not have happened by random chance. And so now you've got a group of Stanford scientist universities posted a paper online mid-September describing a feat they could have been plucked from the pages of science fiction. They used AI to design new viruses capable of killing bacteria, of course, not us, right? They would never design it to kill us.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this isn't just picked from the pages of science fiction. It is the pages of science fiction. Like,
that's right.
What actual evidence do they have that they've created anything if you can't see these under an electron microscope?
That's right. Depending on your belief system, AI was doing what evolution, or God, or scientists working with genome engineering tools aim to do. Well, no, they are not creating life. They're not creating artificial life. They can create structures, but only God breathes the life into these structures. Intelligence is necessary for life. God is necessary for life. So reactions span the gamut from "this changes everything" to a scientific shrug, they said.
Yeah, scientists, I imagine this is, I haven't read the article, but I imagine this is them creating a computer model of viruses that they think could exist. Am I right?
Yeah. The model is called Evo, a generative AI model, you're exactly right, Lance, that is trained on the genomes of living things, similar to how other AI large language models are trained on a massive core of text. The most advanced version of Evo ingested about 9 trillion letters of DNA from an atlas that spanned all domains of life. And that's one of the key things. You know, DNA is the code of life. All living things, plants and animals, all have the same kind of code. If things had evolved by random chance, why would they all have the same basis? Why would they all have the same code of life? That, again, points to not a random process, but an intelligent creator. Biology has already been revolutionized by AI tools. Scientists are already using the tools to devise new anti-venom therapies for snake bites, new antibiotics to improve vaccines, and open up, but it does create new risks, such as creating novel toxins. Well, I would say that you would put the new antibiotics and the new vaccines into that category of novel toxins. Most scientists do not consider viruses to be alive because outside of a host, they are unable to reproduce. Really, have you isolated them at all? Have you proved that they actually exist? Well, the answer is quite frankly, no. They have not proven that they exist. They exist as an abstraction that is there to explain something that they observe. But they have not observed the viruses. They have not isolated them at all. And so, again, they're going to take this level of abstraction and try to pretend that they're going to be able to create life. They said that they're thinking about making parts of organisms that could perform useful functions, such as manufacturing drugs. We've not yet started or done anything toward making artificial life, said one expert that they talked to. He said it would be quite difficult. It's the biological equivalent of asking what it means when AI writes a poem in the style of Emily Dickinson. Is AI inventing art, or is it derivatively riffing? Does this distinction matter? Well, the distinction is that life takes intelligence. And again, if you've got a book and you got a poem, you know that somebody wrote it. If you have a code like DNA that is the basis for all life on Earth, plant and animal, somebody wrote that. It didn't just happen. In the beginning, there was information, the way the Bible puts it. In the beginning was Logos, and referring to Christ. Well, Watson, one of the co-discoverers of DNA, has now passed away. There was an article on Revolver talking about how he became a pariah because he noticed different tendencies within different genetic groups of people. And you're not supposed to say that out loud in academia. He helped unlock the blueprint of life, the DNA code, but in the end, it wasn't science that canceled him. It was his honesty. When he spoke openly about genetics and intelligence, making observations grounded in data, not ideology, the same scientific community that once hailed him as a hero turned on him. Watson merely stated that genetics and race influence human intelligence. And you know, it's kind of interesting because even though he and Crick and Watson discovered DNA, they did not want to acknowledge a creator. And so they had their own built-in biases. They were not just following the data. They were not just following critical thinking. Instead, they were going to insert their own opinions. And that's essentially what happened with him later. When he made statements about genetics and human intelligence, people didn't like the conclusions that he had come to. And so they canceled him. Yes.
The biases that you're referring to are him saying that it must have been space aliens that created us.
That's right. They looked at it and they said, well, it has to be intelligent design, but we already know that there can't be a God. We're going to rule out God. So what we'll say, we'll call it panspermia, and we'll say that it was space aliens who somehow came here and created this because they could not accept that there would be a God. And so, again, it is everybody's got their biases and their prejudices, and they certainly had theirs as well. And then later on in life, he met the biases and the prejudices of people when he talked about genetics and groups of people. His name was blacklisted from institutions that had been built on his discoveries. One especially heartwarming story comes to mind after Dr. Watson and his Nobel Prize was stripped away. He sold it. And the richest man in Russia bought it only to give it back to him. This world in which we now live, a world that celebrates truth only when it is cloaked in political correctness, and only when it is the truth that they're willing to accept. Again, he would turn his back on God because he couldn't accept the greater truth. They refused to acknowledge what they had discovered, essentially, and professing to be wise, they became fools, didn't they? So that is the key thing. You know, we have to, it is really a spiritual war that we're in, and we are not going to rebuild our society. Anything that we rebuild it on is going to collapse unless it is built on the truth, unless it is built on the acknowledgement and the knowledge of God, it will collapse. Even if technology,
just from a simply, you know, logical, rationalistic point of view, there has to be something eternal. So you look at it and either say there's a spiritual element here that's eternal and outside of our material plane and has acted upon it to bring it into being, or matter and energy are eternal. And we can look at the material world we inhabit and see that that's not true. You know, matter is used up. It turns into energy. Becomes heat energy and then dissipates and is lost. It's gone. So we can actively see matter and energy are not eternal. They're disappearing around us. So that rules that out, logically, in my opinion. That's gone from the table. So you have to accept then that there is something, a spiritual plane out there that acted upon our world to bring it into existence. At that point, you then have to decide, well, which one makes the most sense? And when you look at all the other religions, to me personally, Christianity is the only one that makes any real kind of sense. All the others are fantastical, you know, ridiculous sort of fairy tales.
Well, it isn't just that it makes sense. I mean, you go back and you look at the Bible, there's prophetic stuff that now, as we go back and we look at archaeology and we date certain things, we see that things that were predicted centuries in advance came true. And so it transcends time as well as matter and space. You know, that is the key thing. They always want to say, well, you know, the matter and the space that's here, that is eternal. And then somehow it got organized by random chance processes. None of that makes any sense. None of that is absolutely is possible in the slightest. And that's the key. You know, go back and look at the evidence for the existence of Christ, for him being raised from the dead. Look at the prophecies that have been fulfilled. And the criticism of the Bible initially was about archaeological things. They said, well, this talks about nations and places that never existed. Then they found that they did exist. Then the next line of criticism became the evolutionary line of criticism in the 1800s. And that is a house of cards that doesn't make any sense from a critical thinking standpoint. There's absolutely no way that a tornado in a junkyard can build a brick building or build a car or whatever. You bring in disorder like a Big Bang, all it does is make things more disordered. So again, the question is, you know, do you have peace with God? And that is the only thing that really matters. It transcends politics. It transcends this world and this lifetime. And so we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back, folks.
Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community. and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Hear news now at APSRadioNews.com or get the APS Radio app and never miss another story.
Welcome back. You know, when we talk about what has happened over the last 5 years, there was an interesting article on Futurism. They're talking about ChatGPT and how it draws people in with its empathy and its sympathy, pretended, and agreeing with people and highlighting any mental issues, spiritual issues that they might have. And several people have died from it. And the headline was really grabbing. It said, ChatGPT is now linked to way more deaths than the caffeinated lemonade that Panera was forced to pull off the market in disgrace. Do you remember that? That was back in 2023. Panera got a lot of scrutiny. It had a caffeine-packed lemonade drink that they called Charged Lemonade. It's publicly linked to at least two deaths and at least one other life-altering cardiac injury. And so the government jumped in and told them they had to take that off of the market. And you had a lot of mainstream press that talked about that as well. Why is it? Because we know that was two deaths, right? And we have now had, they said, nine people have been reportedly, publicly reported as dying, specifically because of their interaction with ChatGPT, driving them to suicide. And so that's their point. But, you know, when you look at this in terms of all the stuff that happened in 2020 with Trump and the Democrats, you know, why is it there's absolutely no question that more than two people have died from the jab and adverse effects from it? There's no question that more than nine people have died from the jab and adverse reactions to it. Why does this continue to go on? Always in the past, even drugs would get pulled off when they connected them to deaths. And, of course, we do it all the time with all kinds of children's products. But yet it goes on and on and on, and they have no liability. Isn't that the smoking gun that is there? And I just have to ask, why are we supporting the guy who boasted about what he did? Again, you know, why is he confessing? He's not confessing, he's bragging about it. And that's the key issue. You know, just like these criminals on Wall Street, except he's actually killing people. And they also pointed out that AI is failing at the most hilarious task imaginable. There's a lot of pieces out there about what AI is supposed to be able to do. A lot of parlor tricks, basically. First spotted by Ars Technica, a team of researchers from Switzerland, the Netherlands, and the U.S. recently released a paper analyzing social media posts generated by large language models. To conduct the yet-to-be peer-reviewed study, the researchers applied what they called a computational Turing test to posts that large language models had on social media had put up. They found that the posts generated by the AI bots, all open-weight models, ranged from DeepSeek to Qwen, were all readily distinguishable from ones by human users, with a 70 to 80% accuracy rate, which is well above the threshold for chance. In other words, it's laughingly easy to catch an AI bot poster on the act, in the act, by applying a one-size-fits-all screening to any text that it spits out, let alone by using a little bit of human judgment. And so they think that they're going to be able to, and maybe they will get better at it, you know, where they can manipulate human opinion with AI bots. But it is glaringly obvious what it's doing. I just got to say, you know, when I look at politics, to me, it is so glaringly obvious when these politicians are doing this type of thing, just like a large language model. And yet, it seems like the vast majority of people are taken in by this on a regular basis. They really believe these people. They really believe that they have the solution and that the other side is irretrievably evil and irreconcilable. But it's not just that. The AI is supercharging scientific fraud, as they pointed out. Academic paper mills or false organizations that profit from falsified studies and authorship have plagued scholars for years. And now AI is acting as a force multiplier for them. So manuscripts that are fabricated using large language models are proliferating across multiple academic disciplines and platforms. So you can use the AI to help you make this look more plausible. Epic Times was reporting this, and they asked Google for comment, but of course Google would not. They said the risk of what we call evidence hacking increases significantly when AI-generated research is spread in search engines. This can have tangible consequences, such as incorrect results that seep further into society, possibly also into more and more domains. I mean, just go back and look at the MacGuffins of the COVID and climate, and how these people have hidden their data. They want to push their conclusions out to you without showing you the data. And I would include in all of that in, the entire quote-unquote science of virology. They want to push their conclusions to you without you ever seeing the data and without them actually ever doing any real science. We're seeing this over and over again. Meanwhile, in Texas, a massive 11-gigawatt data center that has absolutely no tenants yet. But just wait and see what's going to happen to the electricity bills in Texas. They've already been hit with a lot of massive surcharges there because of the infrastructure that they built to go out to windmill farms and bring in the so-called renewable energy. Now they're jumping into the power business in the panhandle of Texas. This one particular one is that 11 gigawatts, just to give you an idea of how much that is. You know, gigawatts, Marty, right? As it's Back to the Future. 11 gigawatts is twice the power it takes to run New York City in peak power season. It's five times the amount of power that it would take to run the entire panhandle of Texas. This is 60 acres under one roof. But the entire supporting complex will cover thousands of acres, including nuclear generating plants, gas-fired turbines, solar fields, water treatment plants, you name it. And what is the purpose of all this stuff, folks? Look, the reality of artificial intelligence is that it is there to surveil and to control us. As I was pointing out earlier this week, a person said, well, there's two possible outcomes of this AI bubble. One is that it bursts and takes down the entire economy. And the other one is that, you know, somehow they make money off of this and they use it to control us. And I think it's going to be that, where they will make common cause with the government. It is the ideal surveillance and control and auditing tool. And I think that's how it's going to be used. And there's absolutely no limit to what they are willing to spend in order to power this stuff, because AI is going to be their political power to control and to manipulate and everything that we do. Travis, we've got some comments. We've got quite a bit of them here. Let's. Do you have those?
Let me check real fast. In fact, I do. Let's see. Marky Mark in New Jersey, thank you very much for the tip. He says, Harry Truman was right. Never trust a man who cheats on his wife. How many wives has Trump cheated on?
Hmm? That's right, yeah. And I said that many times as well. That's one thing Harry Truman was right about. I tell you, I didn't like his national security state. I didn't like the creation of the NSA by executive order or the CIA and the rest of the stuff, or his idea of being the world's policeman. But I said that about Trump as well. I said, what makes you think that a guy who has not just violated his oath to his wives, you know, that he makes as part of a marriage, but the way that he came after them afterwards. I mean, I understand in our society, you know, it's very common for people to get divorced. What is not common is for people to come after their exes in the way that Trump has done it. And so what makes you think that somebody like that is going to obey his oath to the Constitution, right? Does he love the Constitution like he once loved these wives? You know, there was something about them they found very attractive. I don't know that Trump was ever attracted to the Constitution. I don't think there's any part of it that he ever liked the looks of. But, yeah, that's a good point.
He never had any intention of honoring it. Jason Barker says Trump stiffed a lot of his contractors. Mm-hmm. Chambers Nancy says if Trump ever held a hammer, it was for a PR photo shot. That's right. You can just picture him there in a.
He built everything out of those big ribbons that you cut, you know, with it opens up. That's how he built it, yeah.
And
he bankrupted casinos so he didn't have to pay subcontractors, said Chambers Nancy, yeah.
And Christian Constitutional Conservative says, how did I learn IT in the 80s? On the job training, of course.
That's right. That's right. And so again, one person says, meanwhile, Marjorie Taylor Greene is making ungodly dollars off of Gilead stock, death protocols in the hospital and fraud. I'm not saying it to, I'm not a cheerleader of anybody. When they say the right thing, I will congratulate them and applaud them for saying the right thing. She did say the right thing. I'm not in the, I'm not a cheerleader for anybody. Whether it's Marjorie Taylor Greene or Thomas Massie, I do agree that they've said the right thing about some things. And I think it is about time that Republicans get off of this cult-like devotion to Trump and get a backbone so they're not worried about his attacks coming after them for that. So I agree. So anyway, the... we'll just finish up with this. Anna Jose Sonita says, so yesterday I was listening to a podcast. It turns out the 600,000 Chinese students were part of the negotiations for the Chinese to sell TikTok to Larry Ellison. Oh, there you go. See, it was all about money and business, as Trump said. You know, the interesting thing is that the Chinese, I didn't get to the point where I got to this, but the Chinese have stopped buying soybeans again. It was all just virtue signaling, a momentary thing. And so we're right back to where we began with all the Chinese stuff. But it's time for us to wrap this up. We're out of time. Thank you for joining us today. Have a good day. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project, to make sure the commoners own nothing, and the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.
ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. Social Casino.
60% of top distributors run on Epicor Profit 21 ERP. It's ERP purpose built for distribution with real-time inventory visibility, smarter purchasing, and tools to make every day easier. Don't play catch-up. Visit epicor.com/win.